Go ahead, say it. Fun fact.
The
font.
Inside the font of Dog Belly, you will notice is pictures of dog bellies. And those dogs are Dawkins and Bandit.
That's fun fact.
Fun fact of the day. Our two dogs' bellies.
Fun fact of the day.
Also, shove that in your pipe and smoke it, motherfucker.
Smoke it. I said smoke it.
Smoke it, motherfucker.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog, girl. You're crying all the time. You ain't nothing but a hound dog, girl. Crying all the time. Well, you ain't never caught a rabbit and you ain't no friend of mine. Well, they said you was high class.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Ari Shapiro's Skeptic Tank, episode 5. I don't know, maybe like 12 or whatever. Big J from LGA. Everybody knows Big J Okerson, right? Did you know he has a new special out on YouTube right now? That's right. As of right now, Big J Okerson has his first special in over 7 years, probably right around 7 years. This is a mistake to do this, and this pool hose is going to make it even more difficult. I've got to get to where I can stand up. I'm in the pool in Austin, Texas. Guys, go click right now on the link at the bottom of the screen or where you're listening to this on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or any of those other ones. For Big J's newest masterpiece, Dog Belly, produced by none other than the most evil man in comedy, Ari Shaffir. That's right. Oh, you think he just wanted to do this? You think Jay just wanted to do it? I played him, dude. I played him. He wasn't going to do that special at all. He was going to do a special on AM. That's how backwards he is. But I said, Jay, no. I said, you have got to get with the modern times, and you got to do yourself a special. So what I did was, it was hard to track him down. He's a busy man. I had to pick him up from LaGuardia. LGA. You get it now. Fuck. Ooh, I'm out of breath. Oh! LGA. So Big J from LGA. Me and Jay are in a fucking sweet pad in Austin. We did Rogan's New Club yesterday, the comedy mothership. Wow, it was fucking great. We did Kill Tony, and then I did a spot in the open mic afterwards. It's fucking great, dude. I mean, I couldn't tell because everyone was talking about how great it was. But most of you at home don't understand like the power celebrity has over you to give you a false idea of something. Have you ever heard about a movie that's coming out and you're like, I heard it's the best one ever. And then you watch it, like, that wasn't that good. Yeah, sometimes people can be influenced by what they want to believe. So I wasn't sure. I had to see it for myself. I was pretty hopeful, but I had to see it for myself, and it exceeded my expectations. Not only was it a great room, Kill Tony, if I had one complaint, it was that guy David Lucas is mean for no reason. I wasn't picking a fight with him, and he just is insulting. You call that comedy? I don't think so. Not when I grew up. Respectful. Respectful comedy, David. Just the hangout. I mean, everything was just, it looked so slick. But also what I really, really liked is how many fucking door guys they had. That's who I am. You guys know that if you listen to this podcast any time over the last 12 years or so. I identify as a Comedy Store door guy still. I'm always going to be that guy. And I saw the new class. There's all these young wannabes. That's what Mitzi called them. But they are currents. They just want to be pros. And they're working. They're soaking in everything. It's great. And anything you need, anytime you need anything, it's like, oh, can I get it? There's fucking 7 people around to help you. It's not one of those clubs where you're like, no, I can just go to the bar and get my own drink. Not a Rogan's. No. He's got $7.2 billion. Ugh. So he's like, someone will get that for you. I mean, if they were slaves legal, I don't doubt he would have them for the comics only at the mothership. I doubt he would have them for audience. But, fuck. But he might. It was just great, dude. So all those fucking faces watching the open mic, going up at the open mic. He lets him off to go on stage. He's like, go clock out, go do a spot, come back. Oh, I would have killed for that. The only spots I could do back then was the fucking belly room. That's it. Just the belly room. Because it was upstairs. They let you on the end of the show, and I wanted it so bad. Rogan's letting his employees off. You'd be a fool. Literally, you'd be an absolute fool not to go over there, not to work there if you were a fucking young comic. And also, by the way, I don't know if anybody else has pointed this out. There's not a lot of chicks in that scene at a certain level. If you're an 8 to 10 or 11 year old, not year old, years in, female stand-up comic, I mean, I'm telling you, there is a giant void in your category in the Austin comedy scene. If you're struggling in New York, if everything's kind of going as is, maybe LA too, or maybe Chicago or anywhere you're starting, Boston, Atlanta, who knows, San Francisco, and you got to go somewhere. You'd be nuts not to, anybody be nuts not to consider Austin at this point. Anybody be nuts. But if you're a chick, like a 10-year comic chick, things are going better, you're getting better every day. Dude, fucking go take over that scene. Tony took over his category of a fucking cunt. You know, David Lucas took over his category, soon to be dead from fucking fat diseases that killed Patrice. Diabetes. So why not be in that category? Funny female comic in Austin. You could legitimately be the funniest one. There's a chance. And what if five girls move and you're fifth? That's still pretty high up. Anyway, do what you want, but that's advice from your Uncle Ari. Try to say that not so creepy. Anyway, I'm very excited to say thank you. Congratulations to Joe Rogan on his new club. It's a passion project that most people don't understand, to really care about something. The phones are away. Everyone's focused on the comedy. And they're fucking degenerates, dude. The audience is fucking filth pigs. It's exactly what you want. Oh, it's great. Doing my storytelling show tonight. I'll tell you who I have, and then we'll see if it ends up being true. Me, Segura, Duncan, Big J, Tony Hinchcliffe. All right, so anyway, let's start the episode. It was me picking up Big J. We talked a little about different rides from the airports and some other shit. But go click right now. Don't even listen to this episode. Go click right now and go to Big J Oakerson on YouTube and watch his new special, Dog Belly, that I helped produce. Eric Abrams, my director, directed it. Dan Cotter, my editor, edited it. Matt Schuler, my producer, produced it. I don't know why I'm an executive producer, but it's because I'm more of a gentleman. Still want a different title. A fucking organized by or some shit like that. Something weird. Come on, Ari. Just accept the fucking title. Anyway, go watch it right now. And let's start the episode. Ari Shavir's Skeptic, episode 512. Big J from LGA with Big J Oakerson starts now. I'm finally flying. I feel like I'm in one of them long LaGuardia lines. Watching anybody get their bags. It's gotta be mine. Fine. I wait on my turn. I take what I earn. I live and I learn. They tripping off the headlines. That wasn't confirmed. Like a real nigga. They falling over their words. I'm thinking big picture. Can't draw it in. Can't draw it up. So I grind like LaGuardia. We are here. Let's see if we can get a ticket. Let's see if we can get a ticket. The LGA, the Big J LGA. Well, that's not a bad name for a podcast title. The Big J LGA. You just go to only LaGuardia to pick up comics.
Just picking up comics.
Yeah. And it has to. Oh, I'm getting to Newark. Can't have you. I'm Barack Obama. I'm getting into Newark. Can't,
how great
it's
is
be
it?
LGA.
Well, you can get a flight though that goes to LGA.
LGA is the greatest.
How great is that?
It was one of the first. Guys, before we even get going, Big J Oakerson's special is out today.
Today,
Dog Belly.
April 5th.
I've got a fun fact for everybody.
Yes?
I'll save it. Remind me.
Okay.
It's about the title of Dog Belly.
Okay.
The titling.
The actual visual titling?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the graphics on the screen.
That is. It is a fun fact.
Yeah, fun fact.
I know it. I know that fun fact.
Dude, we hung out at Valley Vibes, this festival in Bonnaroo got canceled.
Mm-hmm.
And we met, they were like, hey, we'll take you in if Bonnaroo people, if you want to. So it was Western Georgia. We just drove out there and met some other. So it was this meth festival. I call it meth country. They're like, no, but some guy handed me a giant bottle of rum. I'm like, rum? And I'm like, sure. The wrestling, metal, and country. What
okay.
a great festival. What a great, it was
That's
one of the best
festival.
Times of my life. Very relaxed.
That's a killer festival.
It was great, dude. All Knoxville bands.
You know what's funny? Everyone... We know a strange amount of adults into professional wrestling.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. We really do. We know a strange amount.
Yeah.
And, which I find very,
into,
very bizarre.
Into wrestling. Uh-huh.
But that said,
yeah.
When you go, when you go to wrestling,
yeah.
What's happening? Everything all right?
Nah.
It's not working?
It's just not quite. Damn it. When you go to wrestling,
we're gonna be in traffic. Good news.
Okay, good news.
When you go to wrestling, or I saw Rob Mayhew, our friend Rob Mayhew, took me to a local
dude
like place
did
that
I
has.
Go with you that?
No, I think he took you also to the same thing.
Oh my god, it was great.
It's so fun. It's watching these guys do their moves, while they're. Like low ceilings and stuff.
Yep,
was the coolest thing ever.
In Edinburgh,
and
it was like
they, and
really
they still
had to
pull
deal,
it off.
They deal with the ceiling height. It was like a real thing they had to fucking overcome.
Yeah, he's like working around it.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I mean, not bad, right?
Not bad at all.
I'm just gonna assume that's good.
Maybe tilt it down a little bit towards you. Like towards you, the top of it pointing towards you more. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Let's hope for the best.
Hey, let's hope for the best. It's an audio medium.
But dude, it's so fun. We had a guy that was there, the one he took us to. First of all, it was like 50 comics out of 250 people.
Really?
So we took over. And they let us. They
at
let
the
us.
One in Cal- in
Ontario.
Ontario.
Because they realized we were good sports and not trying to like shit on them, you know? Like when you get a heckler, but he's like, oh, no, this is where you're giving me what I need. Yeah.
You cheer for the slams.
Exactly.
And
so then they started throwing people at us. You know, and we were like in for it. We had slide whistles. Two people had those train slide whistles. And so these guys got it. They had a racist character.
Nice.
And he fought a black and he made him, he poured grape soda on him and made him eat fried chicken. He was like, no, no. Oh. And he's like, you ate this. You ate it.
That was the beauty of Philadelphia having ECW at its like grassroots thing.
ECW. Is
man.
That?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was at a place just called Viking Hall.
Yeah.
And I mean, it looked on TV like it was a thing. It was a shithole, but it was just those people got so attached to those goofy characters, and they were like,
"It's all sport."
And
you
it
lose
was
yourself
so
in it.
Violent.
You lose your. Oh right, yeah.
It was crazy. Like those are the guys that were like, "It's so funny too." Like watching it, like I have a hard time keeping it in the scope of like that it's a competition in any kind of way, and that's why I think I lost my like thing for it.
Oh, there's I love not, it because it is a competition. Because I'm like, I know they have decided who's going to win, but also so's the NBA. You know,
you
on some
so?
On some level, they push it. No, even
like
after straight cooking
stuff,
even after straight cooking, when they say give stars the calls, you're telling me that
yeah.
a role player can't blow by Jordan. They just won't let him.
Yeah.
So like, this isn't a fair thing.
No, that's for sure
it's
true.
It's a made up ending,
but it's ECW just like. Well, that's what's the funniest thing. Like, the most violent moves they have to do.
Yeah.
Like, everything that's a crazy move in professional wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, when you watch them to get... It's like, it's a two-man job. Like...
To get there.
Not only are they not in a contest with each other, really, they're working together. It's like, okay, when I say three, you got to jump because it's impossible to lift a man up like this.
Yeah,
this.
You got to help me. Dude, yeah,
like, when I kick you in the face, like... Not only are you going to fall, I need you to jump in the air and spin around.
Yeah, exactly. I saw Colt Cabana in Edinburgh. He would do it every year.
Mm-hmm.
And he does comedy wrestling, which is, that's what I'm saying, the racist guy. It's like, this is funny on purpose. He was wrestling a tag team with a fat guy, and they had people behind him trying to get him up, and they just kept failing. And eventually the fat guy's like, I don't know what to do. Like, he's like, you guys can't. And by the way, he was like Steve Simone fat. He wasn't even like massive. He was just fatter than just
chubby.
Than Triple H. Is that a wrestler, Triple H?
Yeah. He's like the guy. Well, now he's not a wrestler anymore. Now he like owns it all.
And what's 4-H? That's a club for fucking to milk cows.
And then there's the local 4-H. Not to be confused with the local 4-H.
Recording.
When I was young, man, I can't even tell you what
I love WWE.
I can't tell you what the exact cutoff was, but there was just some point. Cause, I mean, I loved it. Well,
there were new guys that came in that I'm like, I don't know all these guys. When it was Macho Man Randy Savage, which was later, we're about the same age. You're probably 10 years younger than me. But George the Animal Steel, the Iron Sheik, he was the Arab. They had a Sergeant
Russian.
Slaughter. They had one of everybody who you might. They didn't have a China. They had Mr. Fuji. He was more mystical Chinese and not Chinese Empire.
Chief J Strongbow.
Yeah, the Junkyard Dogs. And then they started getting new people right around Undertaker 1. I was like, oh, I don't really know these guys' backstory. I'm out. And I might have gone to college
really?
At that time,
See,
too.
I was with it through Undertaker showing up and all that stuff, and then lost it for years, came back big in, like, the NWO, WCW, like the Monday Night Wars thing they do.
Yeah.
I'll tell you. As a documentary guy, how much I love documentaries, I'll say I love wrestling documentaries.
Yeah.
Are the best because
Nick Gage, the one you told me about, that was fucking great. Let me just make sure. Yeah. DIY.
Yeah.
Nick Gage, is that his name?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's the guy that almost killed David Arquette.
He like eats glass.
Yeah, but he almost killed David Arquette, which is a crazy video.
Because he talked too much shit.
Yeah, so when he did the thing, like he cut him with the thing, but he didn't realize that he cut him like in his throat.
Right.
And his throat started squirting blood. It was like such a real thing happening.
The guy's like, oh, David Arquette's bringing it.
He's going for it. Yeah. This guy really goes for it. Especially those guys, like the ECW guys who never made it out of there and stuff like that, they're so protective over what their thing was. We used to interview New Jack all the time, and like, that's like when you ECW see where it gets like real things happening. The Montreal Screwjob's a great story when it's like a
Montreal
real thing that happens.
Montreal Screwjob.
You never saw that one?
No.
That's Bret Hart was leaving WWE to go to WCW. They just gave him a bigger contract, and he was the champ.
So they're not taking that belt.
So they go, you're not taking the belt with you.
And what does he say? He goes, yes, I am.
I don't know what he wanted to do ultimately with it.
Yeah.
I can't really, because it doesn't really make much sense, but I think he was almost like, yeah, like let me basically vacate it.
Because then you go into the new organization as the reigning champ of this other thing. You're bigger instead of like, well, you're just coming off a loss.
Right. But his last show was in Montreal.
Yeah.
He's from Canada. He's a Canadian hero, that whole family.
Well, I've been researching dinosaurs.
they're this crazy wrestling match, and they told him, they go, okay, fine, you can keep the
belt.
You can keep the belt. And they plan behind his back. Shawn Michaels puts him in like his own finishing move.
Yeah.
And the move and the idea was that like he was supposed to break out of that and spin him around and he'll win.
Yeah.
And when he puts him in the move, Shawn Michaels, you see Vince McMahon runs over and yells to the bell guy. He's like, ring the bell. Like, we're going to say he tapped, basically. Like, he submitted. And they ring the bell, and then everyone's just confused. And Bret Michaels stands up and goes to the edge of the ring and hangs a big, fat luge on Vince McMahon.
Really?
Then they go in the back, and he goes...
Wait, Bret Michaels was the guy who got tapped?
Yeah, but okay, he didn't tap.
Right.
They just said it because they were like, they're taking his belt away.
Yeah.
And he spit on Vince McMahon. Then he goes in the back, and he goes into Vince's office, and there's a... Wrestling with Shadows is a documentary about this situation, about Bret Hart, actually.
Yeah.
But it gets
up, Hitman Hart?
Yeah. But it gets to this situation, and he goes in Vince McMahon's office, and you hear them arguing. He punches him right in the face.
Punches who? Vince McMahon?
Vince McMahon knocks him unconscious.
Whoa.
And then walks out of the office. Then you see Vince McMahon walk out of the office, and he's like stumbling around like he can't get his bearings at all.
Wow.
It was awesome.
I love that behind the scenes shit. Who is Colt's friend?
Colt Cabana?
Yeah.
His
best friend in WWE. And then that guy got real mad because, like, you fucked over Colt. You gave him two fights, made him play this Jewish character.
Is that what he had to do?
Yeah. He was like David, you know, like Simowitz or something. I was like, this is lame, man. You never gave my buddy a shot, and I'm your champ. CM Punk.
Oh.
And so CM Punk walks out of the octagon and sits down and does, like, an anti thing. And people are like, oh. It was weird. It wasn't that big. Like...
Yeah, dude, CM Punk has gotten in trouble with multiple. Everywhere he goes to work, he gets shit with them. Even the UFC.
I remember Mickey Gall called that fight for like 5 years out. Like, give him to me. I won't win too much until he's in. I'll be the tomato can. Trust me. Yeah. It was like when that guy beat, who was that street fighter that went into Pride? Or
Kimbo
Force?
Slice.
Kimbo Slice. And then somebody couldn't fight. They got injured. And so whatever... Seth Petrozelli.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, oh, I'll fight him on no notice. I'm smaller than him.
Yeah.
You're like, are you sure? Like, yeah, he actually can't. He's not a real fighter.
Yeah, he has no idea how to, like,
yeah, I know how to wrestle.
Fight.
Yeah.
yeah, that guy had his name big for a minute, and then it just turned out Seth Kimbo Petrozelli. Slice wasn't a great fighter.
Yeah, I love those guys who make their name and realize, oh, your name was a fake. You didn't upset this guy. That guy wasn't real. So how excited are you about the special? How many years has it been since the last one?
I think five since Netflix.
Since Netflix. I was picturing your Webster Hall one, and that's seven.
Webster Hall is like 7 years ago, yeah.
Netflix was a half or a 15?
Half.
That counts. These days, that's a full special.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah. This was not. This was right over 1 hour. I just saw the last edit. It was like 1 hour, 12 seconds.
I know. I'm so happy it is that
Thank
time,
Thank God
too.
Dave Kimowitz got stabbed to death in his sleep, or you wouldn't have, it would be right under an hour.
I wouldn't have that little.
Yeah, that little in memoriam just day with him dancing, and it would be 59 minutes and 59 seconds.
Thanks, Dave.
Looking down on
you're
us
still
from
doing
heaven.
It.
Still helping.
You're still helping
the career.
I am excited. You know this from doing Jew, that it's... What an undertaking to do it yourself.
What
financial risk.
Yeah, a financial risk. Everybody go. By the way, this is the way specials are done now for the outsiders. So if you want this to happen, I always talk about the Edinburgh model. You never went to Edinburgh, but like you leave the show, even the big, you go out there like that was a free show / free special.
Mm-hmm.
You're not paying anything.
Yep.
And I'm out there with a bucket saying, if you liked it, I get it. Some people are poorer. Some people are richer. Just hit me up with what you got. Sometimes I get drugs.
That's
not bad.
You can't
tip drugs online.
No.
But you can slide Jay a fucking fiver on PayPal or Venmo. We got to set that up, by the way.
Yeah.
or just right there on YouTube. Special thanks. Whatever you thought it was worth. You've been waiting for it for a long time. You're a fan? I expect $50.
Maybe you think it's not worth jack shit.
Well, yeah, sure. And people are like, well, I don't have much money. You have $1.
You know?
And then you can make your money back and you can do this again next time.
You know what's funny? When you do one that's like fun, you know, is Netflix or
yeah.
HBO or Comedy Central, when they would fund it, you know, I've only done Comedy Central and Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
When they fund it,
yeah.
The emotional attachment to it
yeah.
is so much less, even on the pro and con side. That's what I thought was kind of interesting about it. It's not like
well, they take care of like the editing for you.
Well,
that shit where it's like, oh,
for sure that they take care of that, which is great. I mean, they ask you for your notes, but they kind of like
do it,
put it together the way they want to do it.
Yeah.
But also I just noticed, like, so, you know, I've showed a couple people right yeah. before it came out, be it like
this one.
Yeah, yeah.
Sal's.
Be it Christine. No, not yep. even. I showed Soder.
Yeah. Oh, nice. He
like
was there.
Dan Soder
he
watched
was there
it
in the back by himself.
Yeah. So like he watched
like a fucking loser by himself. A room full of people. Yeah. He has no friends around him.
What does this guy have? Nobody in his life?
Sounds like the kind of guy who would leave you in the lurch at a fucking LCD Sound System concert for the encore by yourself. Where you got to hear them sing "Where Are Your Friends Tonight?" And you're like, they're taking dumps at home.
Where Are Your Friends Tonight? I don't know. Good question.
Good
LCD
question.
Sound
I'll
System.
I'll talk to Soder about it.
But there's something about it, like the compliment of like the people say before it comes out, you'll get those big kudos when it comes out.
Yeah.
Because the fans will be like, oh, this is great. Or I never saw these.
Fans
you know,
are going to love it.
It's,
yeah.
it's great. But, you know, Soder gave exactly what I would have wrote to him if I watched it and loved it. He wrote, loved it. It looks fantastic. But when you spent the money, you're like, well, that's just not enough, my friend. Like, you're going to have to tell me, like, you think this is going to be life-changing. Like,
it's your dollar. And it's yeah. not just a couple. It's fucking six digits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when someone goes, he goes, dude, loved it. You go, I don't feel any emotion in that.
Yeah. No.
Like, that's, I'm going to need you to be,
you can say about anything.
Yeah. I'm going to need you to be a little more excited than loved it.
I love the burger in and out. That's not commiserate.
I don't think about that the next day.
Yeah.
But it is, yeah,
it is. You get your hands. It's like making a fucking sandwich for yourself versus buying one.
Yeah.
You know, that's not a bad analogy, actually.
No.
It's just like you've taken a part of it. You've made it from start to finish.
So you
with help, but like you're there.
Yeah, and you also critique it harder.
Yeah.
It's like, these are my choices.
Yeah, even the setup of the room. You can't. When we did Renazisi's, I opened for him in Boston. And he got there. The setup was like these gothic, there's a Comedy Central, gothic pillars. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh. And I also was like, oh, I don't know about this. And he goes, well, we can take it down, but then we have no time to put it back up. So it's just using the blank background of the Wilbur.
Right.
And he's like, oh, okay. That doesn't sound like much of an option. Seems like this should have been okay. But we went and scouted it ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Then we scouted it again. And then we set it up. It was like,
yeah.
you're really getting your hands dirty.
No, it's a real, it's
fun.
It's an endeavor. It is fun. It is cool being a part of all of it. But like, you know, just like you said, like there's no one else to blame, you know.
Yeah.
Again, there's not that where it's like, you know, Netflix cut out.
Right.
Made me cut a bit that I really
yeah.
wanted to have in there.
I was doing a podcast with Andy Haynes today.
Mm-hmm.
And be out in a couple weeks. And he was telling me about these Hasidic Jews and whatever. Block cutting him off in their minivan, and I just told a joke about Hasidic Jews in their minivans.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, he realized halfway through that I'm not serious. I was like, that was cut out of my special. He's like, who cut it out? I'm like, me, for time. He's like, oh, I thought somebody banned it. I'm like, no, I had to get it down to a fucking 90 minutes.
No, right. And when you're making those decisions on your own, like, you have to make the hard decision, but you're living with them right away.
Yep.
And, you know, everything for, you know, with Netflix, if people were like, if anyone gave a critique of like, felt a little something, I'd go, well, you know, they, yeah, you know, exactly. I can't edit. I go, they took out one of my favorite things. Like they said, yeah, it was too much. And
that's
they,
a problem with Netflix.
And they blah, blah, blah. But yeah, you do have at least to do. And again, you still walk away. It's like, no, the special's good. I would have loved to have that thing in there, but whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it is what it is. But then when you do it, if someone's like, he goes, I thought I was missing something. It's like in the edit, you're like, well, damn, they brought every single edit to me.
So. Yeah. So I just wasn't there. Yeah, there was one moment where Eric was like, we should raise the laughs in this moment. This joke got deserved more than it got. Mm-hmm. And I had to be like, Eric, I know. I think so, too. But we can't raise the laughs.
Sweetening the laughs.
I failed. So you got to let it sit.
Sweetening of the laughs. Yeah, yeah, such a thing.
And then like, it's like if Netflix or Comedy Central or HBO, they're great platforms. They're not bad. Sure. They're great for comics. But like the idea like, well, we don't really like this. Like, oh, that's fine. You don't have to. Every night I go to the Village Underground or the Cellar, there's two people in there. They're like, I don't care for these jokes.
You're
and
one
that's
of them.
Okay. Yeah. You're not my target market. It's all right. You just have a job.
Yeah, that's the thing is someone who's like, you know, when you hear where someone's favorite comic is, it's like, if someone stylistically, if somebody was like, well, you know, it's like, I've done this before. I edited Mike Birbiglia's special.
Uh-huh.
It's like, I absolutely love him. I'm his biggest fan. I got to edit his special. You're like, oh, you can't edit my special then. Like,
it's hard, though, but it's like what you want to see is not how good the comic was. You want to see is like, what were the shots like?
Yes.
It's hard to look at it differently like that. Like, Bo Burnham, I think, is one of the best like producers around.
Sure.
You know, Abrams, too.
Dude, you're, but I like, your but crew Bo, you put together
my
is...
My crew is nice. Jordan is great.
Jordan, fantastic. Abrams, great. Eric, phenomenal. You've really never put anybody in our paths that like wasn't good at their fucking job.
Yeah. But some of those, occasionally, you'll see somebody be like, oh, I don't like this comic, but it looks good.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it's like, well, you just took a job and you made it the best you could.
Yeah, it tends to be, not, for the most part, not great looking, self-produced wise. Not great looking, but with like great comics.
Yeah. I love when they say
or heavily overproduced.
Yeah. Heavily. I love when they say self-produced because it implies that you're getting in there and hiring the lighting guys. And I'm like, no, I'm hiring a producer. Self-funded producing.
Well, that is what's funny on a full disclosure of that. If you recall when we first started this thing,
yeah,
you had to tell me that exact same thing because I was like, all right, I don't even know the beginning of this. I go, so I got to find a sound guy. Camera people with cameras and buttons. He's like, no. Like, that's what the producer does when you hire the producer. Yeah.
We get Matt
to
do that.
You got to hire the main person who does that, all that stuff. I go,
yeah,
oh,
we get
thank
Shula.
God.
Shula knows these people. Yeah. I don't know any of these people.
Because that's the, you know, it's like.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's so daunting.
It's like, we need a lighting guy. I go, where do you even advertise? For hey, Craigslist.
Hey,
I'm looking for some dick and a lighting guy.
Yeah. Anyway, everybody, go in there right now and fucking... I can't decide if we should like talk more about the special and be inside baseball because you're not going to do it much on other pods.
Yeah.
And since we kind of did it together, we should. Or let's do a little theme first for Skeptic Tank.
Okay.
Airport rides.
General speaking,
what do you like? Like, I had to leave you hanging because it took me so long to get your apartment to pick up this fucking car.
There's a fucking parade. I wish we could find out what parade's happening.
Whatever it is, it's a hate crime
let's
coming.
Let's go drive through it. Yeah.
There's a hate crime coming. Sorry, Puerto Rico.
Oh, man. Wouldn't it be great, though, if it was like, what heroes are we if we drive through like a Proud Boys parade?
Yeah.
Just drive through it and it goes, we don't believe in what you say.
Yeah. That would really help promote the special. If you could, that would help me out a lot.
If I could just tear through you guys real quick, it's really going to change people's opinion.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, he's coming. I'll go out and scout. Okay, he's coming. You need to dive out of the way, but make it like cinematic.
Hi, everybody. How you doing? Ari Shaffir here, and I'm telling you, I'm coming on tour. Another show added in London on April 28th, I think, 29th. Manchester, Glasgow, Amsterdam, Romania, Slovenia, Berlin, Athens, Greece. Oh, it's going to be great. But also, I'm announcing my Wrong Side of History tour. Tickets are not available yet, but they will be available coming very soon. I got Chicago, November 4th at the Vic, and right around that I got Minneapolis at the Pantages. I got St. Louis, Kansas City, Iowa, a bunch of Midwestern cities, and Boston's coming. It's all going to come out in about a month, but save the date, November 4th for Chicago at the Vic. I'm excited. See you on the road.
Hey, everybody, it's me and Big J. Okerson. I'm filming a promo. I said we were doing this, but it's a promo. I picked him up from LaGuardia. We did a podcast
called Big J from LGA. It's a new podcast series I'm trying to get him to do.
And I'm there every weekend, so it works out.
Yeah. Tune in to YouTube and Spotify and everywhere you listen to podcasts. Me and Big J Okerson here, of the new special Dog Belly.
Available now.
Available now. Or on the road. Jay, where are you going to be coming up?
I am going to be, well,
top level comedians, you guys. It's not just a fucking book appearance.
Yeah, the summer is going to be wild. We have two shows. Me, Tim Dillon, Nick Mullen, and Shane Gillis are doing Charleston, South Carolina, as well as Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Home of the Klan. Home of Willy Wonka.
Tickets for that. Burt Kreischer's Fully Loaded Tour this whole summer. I'm on every date
home
of that.
Burger.
So make sure you check that out. And then I'm just all over there. BigJComedy.com
where do you
for,
got for
all
your
my
dates.
Where am I going?
Just in April.
Mm-hmm.
You got to know.
Yeah, I know.
In the meantime, while he's looking
yeah,
it up.
Yeah, you know. You know yours.
I'm going to, at the end of April, Glasgow, London, and Manchester. And then all in May, I got Amsterdam, Vienna, Stockholm, Berlin, Ljubljana. I don't know how to say that, Slovenia. Bucharest, and Cluj-Napoca, Romania, and Athens, Greece. And then I probably have a tour, the Wrong Side of History tour.
Nice.
Coming in the winter, but announcements
name.
Later. And I have a special called Ari Shaffir on Drew on YouTube. But Jay, you know where you're going to be?
Yes, I do.
Let's hear it.
If you're listening to this as soon as it comes out, everyone, I'm in West Nyack, New York at Levity Live this weekend.
Great.
Detroit House of Comedy for the first time. Detroit.
Nice. I know they got
me
there.
Were there. Me, you, and Robert
Bobby.
Kelly
first
were there.
Said.
Robert Kelly, new co-host of The Bonfire.
New co-host
Faction Talk
Bonfire.
Series XM103.
Yeah.
Very, very fun. But fun. Detroit House of Comedy, I'll be at Moon Tower Comedy Festival, Skyline Comedy Club in Appleton. Cinco de Mayo looks like I'm going to be home, everyone. Big news. Comedy Zone in Charlotte. And then, of course, that Coliseum show. Going to be all over the place. BigJComedy.com.
Now get
check
back to the episode. Don't forget Dog Belly. Watch it right now. Stop this podcast and watch it right now. Okay, back to the episode. Hi, everybody. Today's episode of Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank Podcast is brought to you by YoKratom.com. Guys, YoKratom is the home of the $60 kilo. A lot of people will say home is where the heart is. That's not what YoKratom says. They say home is where you can get a $60 kilo of fine-ass kratom. YoKratom.com. If you go to other places and go, hey, do you have an ounce of K-Ray kratom for just $60? They'll be like, no, I think you're thinking of YoKratom.com.
Hey, guy.
Yeah?
Hey, buddy.
Yeah?
You know I could find like a kilo of kratom?
Yeah, I mean, I do.
Really?
There's a website.
A website?
Yeah.
Where I could buy a kilo?
Yeah.
Of fine, pure, uncut kratom?
Yeah, you heard of the dark web?
Yes.
It's not even that.
What?
It's the fucking light web.
Just available on the light web?
Just available.
My grandmama can see it.
If she can get to YoKratom.com.
Well, that's what I'm trying to get the kilo for, so.
Oh, well then, yeah, that's the one.
I gotta go steal a computer.
YoKratom.com, thank you for sponsoring this episode. I'm so sick.
I've had parades rise from an airport plenty of times when they try to say, it's like, well, there's a bicycle thing happening, so you gotta go to a bridge that's really far
yeah,
away.
Yeah, I almost missed a flight before where I had to drop my car off at Mayhew's house
mm-hmm.
and then back, so I had to cross it twice. And the cops are like, oh, no, it's 2 blocks down. I'm like, that's what they told us 2 blocks ago. Like, yeah, 2 blocks down. You get 2 blocks. Like, nah, it's 2 blocks down. I'm like, hey, can anyone, like, move along, sir. I'm like, hey, since we're paying you guys, I really get it now. I pay your taxes. I really get it now. It means, hey, just treat me with respect. Can you get on the walkie-talkie and find out where I got to go?
By the way, only in retaliation.
Retaliation. You had fair.
In retaliation.
Yeah.
I treat those yellow jacket people vest outside of the airport
yeah
like they're pieces of shit.
Yeah, the guy's like, move along. I'm thinking, what authority do you have?
None.
I'm
that's
like,
the
uh-huh.
thing. I've been conditioned for so long to be terrified of authority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those aren't the ones.
And but even with police officers, like they're wrong often.
Yeah.
They're
getting a
I
move.
Rogan
just
had
like we do.
Didn't Rogan have like a bit about this on one of his earlier specials, even about like when you lose your belief in like adulthood, like adults, do you know what I mean? It's like you just because you believe like, all right, the people in authority will act with authority because they have authority.
Yeah,
and just like that, a guy going out there and be like, for his first choice to be like, while I'm putting my bag in my trunk, to be like, let's go, wrap it up. You know, you're like,
no,
fuck all. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, they do that.
It's like, why are you putting a stress on me?
I hate
like,
TSA, but and so they're like, hey, you can't put your shoes on here. You got to move on. I just kind of look at them and just keep putting my shoes on. I'm like, no, I'm not walking with my socks across with my bat. No.
Yeah, go do your stuff over there. He goes, I'm sliding my shoes on real
no.
quick. I'm not. He's like, you're not stopping the tire.
I don't even say
an elevator.
Yeah, you know exactly. I mean? Like, I'm not blocking. Yeah, it's just like you're in a mood, and you're. It's just you're a Starbucks guy. You're a Starbucks guy saying you can't loiter here. I'm like, dude, don't take authority. It's not your job. Anyway,
except Lewis was asked to move from an actual cop at an airport and then almost arrested.
Really? Yeah, he doesn't know the line. It's like, no, that's a real one. I saw somebody honk at a traffic cop today. I was like, ooh, but then it's like, no, traffic cop. Oh, you want a joint and smoke weed?
Oh yeah, let's smoke a joint.
I got this from, I believe, Denver.
Ooh.
Let's see where it is. I might have forgot it completely.
I gotta tell you, Ari.
Yeah.
I like that jacket.
Thanks, buddy. Here you go.
Good jacket.
You can light this up.
Oh,
can we get this on both cameras?
Oh, snap.
Yeah, thanks. I like this jacket.
Is that a sativa or indigo?
It's spicy either way.
Either way, it's hitting hard. I have the ride.
What do you
rides from airports?
You have one of the best ride airport stories I've ever heard in my life.
Which?
I'll lead you in a second, but like I felt bad about leaving you there because when you're waiting for someone and you know that, like, I'm 5 minutes out, you know that means they're 14 minutes out. They're just lying. I'm like, I'm almost 5 minutes out to make you feel better. And almost when I'm like, hey, I gotta take a dump. If you actually give me the real time, I could go do that.
Yeah. It's a comedian's lie.
Uh-huh. The comedian's lie is a standard. Norman hit me with, like, I missed my flight. There was stop traffic on the... And Norman is just a known liar. To steal a Renazzisi line from his one of his stories. What a great fucking line that was. When he says he runs into Kid Rock behind Santa's bar. And he goes, and I go back there to smoke, and Kid Rock's there. And he goes, guys, I know I'm a known liar, but this happened. You know? But Norman's like, oh, we stopped traffic. I'm like, I know I can just look on Google Maps to find out you're lying, but it doesn't matter. The point is you missed your flight. So, fine.
Well, I always called it the comics lie.
Cut to camera one, please.
I always called it the comics lie. Also, because... I'll leave it later.
Oh.
I call it the comics lie because... And I realize it takes years sometimes to realize the damage you're causing with the lie is much easier solved if you're just honest.
If you're just honest, yeah, exactly.
Because the thing was, like, you know, they're like, you're next. You know what I mean? Where are you? You're next. And you go, I'm 5 minutes away. When you're 10 minutes away and not parked yet.
Right, and they're like, we can just put someone on.
So it's like, yeah, if you just go this, it's like, and I'll tell you, learning that the shoulder drop... Of that, just be. I said there's no worse feeling than like being in traffic, being in traffic like this, and you're on in 15 minutes, and you know this is you're 15 minutes without traffic.
Yeah,
when you just call and be like trying to make that.
Hey, sorry, I fucked up. Well,
when you go
20 minutes out. Yeah,
imagine you go. Hey, look, it's just not going to happen. Like, I'm not going to make. You got to put somebody else on or stretch if you want me to get there and do it. And when you're just going to lay that out there, even if they're like, oh man, that's.
You gotta take it at some point.
You just go.
You're just delaying the inevitable.
I know, but you just go. It's like, you know what, though, dude? That's it. Now the traffic is the traffic. We get there when we get there.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. You've relieved yourself. You've relieved yourself. I did it with
that stress. Is
not to keep shit on the same guy, but like, let's call it a different guy. But Dark Corman.
Oh, yeah. Dark Corman.
Yeah, we were leaving the stand.
It's a one-liner comic, right?
Yeah. Two-liner. He's a two-liner comic.
Two-liner comic.
Yeah.
It's just slightly different.
There's a lot of, what's the opposite of pun?
It was real long-form stuff.
Yeah. And he called the New York, stand-up New York. And he goes, I'm 5 minutes out. I'm like, dude, this is 25 minutes. Just tell them. Like, there's no way. They could. That's a full spot. Just let them know.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And I think he was starting to get it.
He just started to turn.
I asked Mitzi once. She saw somebody lying and she was like, drive. I was driving her home and she was like, he was lying to me. And I'm like, oh, you must have dealt with that a lot, huh? Over the years, everybody needs you for something.
Yeah. But she was getting it from like Sam Kinison.
Right, exactly. But I'm like, for 25 years, you've had people lying to you to get ahead and stuff. And she goes, oh, yeah. I'm like, do you hate them for it? She goes, no, that's just who they are. You just know now that that person's a liar.
I've never seen Esty, the comedy seller. That lady governs with such an iron fist.
The staff
is afraid for you to be late.
Oh, right.
Because then if they have to change something, if they try to change it and don't tell her.
Yeah.
And she finds out.
Marissa, you know you got to cut back and forth on that, right?
Hell will pay.
Yeah, exactly. I've got whatever.
Hell to pay.
I hate it when someone's late to pick you up. I hate it when you're late to pick someone else up. Also feels bad because you know how it feels.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially an airport's a tough one.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Well, let's talk about this that you'll get sometimes with like a Rogan or something. The sign. And you come down and you see the sign. Oakerson.
I'm bad though with the full service of that.
I don't want them picking up my bag. I got it myself. Don't touch my bag.
Who do you think Gianmarco Ceresi is? That's a comic.
I know that name. Yeah. Where do you see that?
Can you see it on that window? It's a full.
Gianmarco Ceresi?
Yeah, I saw him in Montreal. Weird.
Gianmarco Ceresi.
Do you think he just lives there?
He might just live there.
That's really funny.
I think he's a New York comic now.
He is. That's
Gianmarco
a pretty
Ceresi.
Brilliant, at hilarious
Gianmarco
idea.
Ceresi. And you just put your Twitter, I guess, an Instagram account.
If you live right at the base
of a bridge, this is always
bridge
stop
in Manhattan,
traffic. You can have enough time to get on your phone.
Someone's going to go, well, who the fuck is that? And he's good. He's a good comic.
Yeah, I've never
I saw
seen
him in Montreal. Yeah, he did really well.
Great. Love a new good comic. You ever always saw the fucking good? Ah, fuck, I forget his name. New Asian guy, but he's like American Asian.
Okay. Henry Cho.
Anything. If I guess wrong at all, it's racist, so I just won't. Forget it. Don't worry about it. Anyways,
yeah, it's like
it.
Zing, yeah. Ding, yeah. Ping.
Yeah, there's nothing. I'm done with this.
You know, I had my my old landlords in Queens.
Though. Yeah.
We just had to make out a check every month to X-I-N-G.
Yeah.
M-I-N-G-L-I-N-G. Zing Ming Ling.
No way.
Yeah.
I mean, they must know that's retarded too.
Like, yeah, like, are sounds different out there?
Let me show you guys a proper joint management. Okay, if you're ever in a party and someone passes you a joint, you're done. What you do is you take it. Hold it for the amount of time you're not smoking. It's okay.
And then
you give
it
back. And then you know, then they get to break their lungs. Just hand it on back.
Oh, thanks, dude.
Or,
are you sure you have enough?
If it's a circle, hold it, pass it on. It's just etiquette. I know you're done. I know you're sober. I know you don't smoke. It doesn't mean you can't hand this to the guy over there. Can you imagine doing that at Thanksgiving?
You know, there's a lot of people. A lot of people.
I'm done with the potatoes here. I'm like, oh, I don't want any potatoes. Are you kidding me?
It is an etiquette a lot of people do. I've done that in a circle particularly.
Pass it on.
But you pass it to them and they do like the no, or they even like step backwards, which is a weird thing. It's like,
I don't want to touch it.
Yeah. Listen, clearly I forgot.
That you're sober.
Three times.
Yeah, three times in a row. I am high. You know what the excuse is going to be.
Just
double,
drive the
fisting
fucking
that
thing.
Breathing.
I was holding it.
Okay.
But I'm done with this too.
Okay. Let me tell you another show you a real fucking stoner move with this quote unquote cigarette. Mm-hmm. This is a fucking deep fucking juice stoner cheapo move.
Oh, I think I know it.
Put this in there.
Foil it.
The smoke puts it out.
Yep.
It's not the Jew cheapo move. Now it's out.
Oh, that's the cheapo move.
Yeah. Why waste it? Get one more blast. Why waste the smoke?
Although I've tried that move, not the Jew part,
yeah,
but the just putting in the lit one because the air will kill it out.
Yeah.
In a plastic one.
Burns.
And you put it in my pocket and I started feeling like, oh, that's getting hot. That's not out.
Yeah.
Sometimes they go out, sometimes.
Oh, yeah, making out, dude. Oh, they're kissing hard.
Let's really look at it.
Yeah, nice, dude.
No, it's not nice. They're actually extremely both unattractive.
Unattractive, yeah. But yeah. I mean, good for them.
For sure.
Oh,
I bet some. By the way, they're making out in the front seat of a car with a TLC. Nothing's more Indian than that.
Yeah, he's a what's it called? Livery driver.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a fair?
Dude. I think those two have been.
She looked white. He looks Arabic.
They've been together. No, she was Arabic too.
She was
for sure. Yeah, they both had the same lined up beard.
My parents went to Mecca and all they
brought
back was horrible body odor.
Really?
No, that's from The Amazing Racist. I was selling those t-shirts.
That's I only had some horrible body odor.
Oh, please kill a fucking black guy on camera. Oh, dude, this podcast would get skyrocketed to the top.
It won't be on camera, but it's just going to be us doing this for a while. Like, oh God.
Dude, I went to see, just randomly, I was looking for videos, and I just went to, I saw, you know, when it suggests stuff, like close enough, bike fails. Okay, watching those. And everyone was whoever hit somebody from the driver's point of view. If they hit a biker, you see them coming, then they get very safe and slowly pull over, slowly stop, park, put it in, take the seatbelt off, and then they go. They're so scared, they don't know what to do. It's great.
It's terrifying.
It's great seeing real reactions.
I had I don't think I've told you this before. Me and Kareem Green, when we both lived in Astoria, Queens. Yeah.
Wow.
When we both lived in Queens. Astoria, Queens. We would drive home, and the back, you could avoid lights on one part of Astoria by taking like the back roads down. It's just all stop signs.
Great.
And a few lights.
Okay.
At one of the lights in this back road, there was a whole Indian family,
yeah,
like crossing against the light, mind you. So I slow down, thank God. I slow down a little bit for, you know, to them to go.
Yeah.
And then I,
start by the cell.
And then when they're gone,
sure.
When they're gone, I speed up.
Yeah.
Like
oh, really?
Yeah. Like okay, when they get past me, like I speed, because I have a green light.
And you want to take it.
Yeah. So they get past, and so I start speeding back up, but from a thing. And there was, well, it's interesting. Just like this, there's a van,
yeah,
on the corner, which blocks if there's people standing there.
Oh, boy.
There was one.
So you can't, yeah.
I can't see. The family had already crossed, and then I'm going by the screen light. There was a straggling little girl.
No.
On my life. I swear to God this happened. Kareem will remember this. It's funny. I actually should remind him of this and tell the story together. I hit the brakes when she darts out. I mean, darts out. I hit the brakes, but not before she, this little Indian girl, rolls up my hood.
What?
And I mean like a horror movie, like her hands are like planted right there. And she, oh geez. And she is just like looking at us both with her hands in the car. And then because of the way I stopped, she like slides back off of it. I mean, handprints like right down the car.
Whoa.
Terrifying. So I jump out of the car. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, oh my God, oh my God.
Free Indian
the
girl.
The Indian. Oh man, that's a little gift horse in the mouth. You know what I mean? You kill it, you got to eat it.
Oh my God.
Get in here. She stood right back up, which was amazing. And then just like literally she stood up not crying and then just started crying. Like,
because she
freaked
knew
the out.
Way, yeah.
She was freaked out by the whole thing. The family, I'm like over there going, I'm telling people on the street, I'm like, people got to call 911. Like, call, you know, we have to like get her to a hospital or something. You're just going to get hit by a car.
Whoa.
And not even sort of thinking about like my repercussions of anything. I'm just like, you know, I'm a human being.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah,
Jesus
yeah,
Christ,
yeah,
she just
yeah,
got
yeah.
hit by, you know, not worried if I did anything wrong or not. I didn't, but I was like, that wasn't my thought. I'm calling. Dude, these Indian people, that family came back over.
What?
I mean, they would have fucking held her up like a puppet if every bone was broken to walk her away from that thing. And I'm going like,
what
no, no,
mean?
No. I'm going, no, please. I'm like, don't like, let's wait for like an ambulance to come at least. Like, have, like, let's please make
they
sure she's okay.
Out of there?
And they're going, she's okay. And it's like, come on. And, you know, they're dragging her basically like off. And I'm like, no, please. And then as soon, it's funny. It's right by Queensbridge Projects we were. So there was a lot of a ghetto people out there.
Yeah.
And it's the best thing was like someone just sitting on like a stoop just goes, they got their own doctors. They're afraid they don't go to the hospital because they got no papers. And I was like, oh. Because I'm like, why would this father, if he cares about
like,
his
I'm getting my daughter to my hospital quick.
They're like, I'm getting her to where they're not going to, you know, whoever
Whoa,
our doctor is. And I'm
damn.
Like, wow. Now, you could do worse than to have your illegal doctor be probably Indian.
Do you remember the Crown Heights riots?
No.
You're just a touch younger. I remember this in like fourth or fifth grade.
Hasidics?
But what?
Hasidics?
It was in Crown Heights when it was like Norman lived there, when it was black and Jew.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a split neighborhood, I guess. I'm going from memory, so who cares if it's right or wrong. But somebody hits a couple kids on a playground. Some driver.
I do remember
this. And it was a black kid, I think a black boy, and a Jewish little girl, same age. Let's say they're 7 years old. And so they call 911, but according to at least one song.
I know.
You know a lot about 911, Jay.
I know this exact story. It's
yeah,
a joke.
It's a joke.
It's a jizz-oke.
In the meantime, you do what Dave Smith would say is the right thing, privately owned business, right? Isn't
mm-hmm.
that what he believes in? That
yeah,
kind of shit?
Oh, very much.
So the Jews are like, well, we got our ambulance system. We know 911's a joke, so we just pay for our own. And they come, which that's so far so good.
So far so good. No, I know this story. I have heard this before. It's fucking crazy.
And then they come and they get the little girl and they're like, black kid too. And they're like, that's not really on the payroll. The black kid.
And they're like, no, 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 you're going to the, you're taking them to the hospital. Take the black kid. They're both hurt.
They're like, no meat with this cheese, sir.
Yeah, the kid, the, I guess the black kid died, and then they were just riots in the streets. Yeah, for a while.
Oh, man. Well, you know.
I think, is that related to Jesse Jackson calling it Hymetown?
Maybe, but that would be great. Hymetown.
Yeah. They should make movies about New York.
Why do they never touch on these subjects here? The although I have been, it is funny to be like a part of it as a Jewish person. But I mean, like, no, but you know, it's funny. New York, the New York Jews. You grew up like Orthodox, so
yeah.
It's not as like wild for you. But even as a Jewish, I grew up in a. In a place where, like, there was a synagogue, but I don't know many people who ever went to it.
Oh, really?
And where I grew up, yeah. Even though it was the neighborhood was Jewish and black.
You just didn't
Same
go.
Thing. No, it just wasn't even a thing. Maybe once or twice I went into it. Now, I did go to school in that synagogue because it was used for ninth grade of my K through 12 school. So we were in there.
Okay.
But, like, as far as, like, the actual, like, you know, service room and stuff.
Yeah.
No. Never. Like maybe once or twice ever when I was really young and my grandfather was alive. But like, no, not very religious at all. But everyone was Jewish in like the most, like I didn't get at all what the racism was.
Against Jews?
I just didn't understand it because I was like, my Jewish friends are almost identical to my not Jewish friends and like, don't even think about it.
Different kind of Jew. Sorry, I was off mic. Different kind of Jew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what it was, it really took me, of all things, man, going to New York and then going like, oh, you know what? I
get it now.
I get it now. If it makes sense, not that I get that you should hate people for whatever. I'm just saying, like, I didn't know what they're, the cheap stick to themselves. Also, my ex-wife, who lived in that area, Crown Heights or something like that.
Yeah,
whatever it was, were like they're actually also like maybe racist is the right word or wrong word. I don't know.
It's a bit of racism.
Is it racism? But yeah. it's more like it's separate. It's separatism. They really want
that's what got us in trouble. Always.
They want you the fuck out of that neighborhood.
They just want to do their own thing. That's what got them in trouble in Europe. People are like, who are these people? Are they better than us? They're not. They just want to do their own thing. But that imagine if you weren't allowed to buy in Chinatown. You start going like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I mean, the fish smells enough, but like, let's say I still want to go.
You know, Bill Maher said it last night on Real Time with Bill Maher. He's like,
liberal thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
He said liberal people have a hard time spending any time acknowledging progress. They don't talk about the progress at all, and he's right about that. He goes, there is a thing. It's like, you wouldn't even think, it would be crazy if you were told you couldn't rent an apartment in Chinatown.
It'd be crazy.
It'd be crazy at this point if you were like a Chinese person can't move into this neighborhood. It's like those things really don't happen. I'm not saying there's not pieces of shit who will try to get you out of there.
Yeah. But no way is that's like still happening.
But there was rules about these things. Howard Stern, I think Howard Stern the other day talking about his dad would talk about when he would look through the classified ads for jobs.
Yeah.
They would say no Jews. Like, they would say no in classified Jews. Ads, like no Jews.
Whoa.
Though. And didn't even waste their time saying no black people. You know what I mean? It was like, if it's no Jews, it's probably no black people. Unless it was black people saying no Jews.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty
That's just like that. We live in New York, so it's like we just don't see anything close to that.
No, correct.
A remnant of it.
Yeah, there's not a remnant. There's remnants in other places.
You ever heard Joe List tell that story about Boston or hanging out with his friend? It might have been Tom Dustin. It might have been both of them. And they walked in with like a black, or they were at a bar, or they walked in with one of their black friends. Maybe they're just at a bar. None of this matters. I'm a bad storyteller.
Two Boston alcoholics.
But the bartender goes, no, 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 we're good. We're good. Yeah. And they were like, what? Like, yeah, yeah, we're good. We're good. And just like, okay. And that's just like, yeah, yeah. That level is like, we don't get that here.
No. It would be so confusing if it was here. But again, this is where you also get like, you know, you in New York is interesting because you get the everything of everything. You get these fashionable gay Arabs over here.
Yeah.
Like, you don't see that. That's not happening in Milwaukee. Or not even Milwaukee is a bad example. Like, you know, Duluth.
Right.
Doesn't have that happening. We get
they've never even seen a Hasidic person.
We this place, there's a zillion Irish people with Irish accents bartending and bar flying in bars all over this city. You know what I mean? Like everyone's doing the thing. You know what I mean? Like you see the Jews, you see the Jews with the black jacket, you know, the Hasids.
Yeah.
With the black and on black, and it's summertime and they're wearing wool coats and shit. You know what I mean? You see that. Then you also just see, like, you know, the then you see the smarmy rich kid who just has the yarmulke on.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And he's just, like, privileged. He's just, like, a rich kid.
What does the least probably New York, like, thing representation is loud and proud just Catholics, like Christian people.
You do get that.
I think you don't. I think that's what you get the least in New York.
Yeah, you're not.
I think the people who come from like Catholic and whatever like that.
You get the one day where the guy fucking sprays water at you.
Yeah. You're the ash, whatever. But like no one really, I don't know any. Someone made a joke to me last night that it was like, oh, it's pretty late because, you know, I got church in the morning. And I was like, oh, yeah. And they were like, no, I'm fucking kidding. And I was like, oh, wow. I said, when I was younger, people did go to church. Like I'm not Catholic or yeah. Like, I didn't go to synagogue, so I certainly wasn't going. I've been to church more than synagogue, funny enough.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's wild.
That's wild. My dad was always marry a lady who was into church to some degree.
Roy was telling me in Macaulay yesterday.
Fake church people, though. Not live their life by it. It was just that their job was to go every Sunday. You do have to go to church.
Yeah.
That was it. I never got it.
They're fun. Especially when you're not connected to it at all.
Well, no, I thought they were crazy boring. Yeah. I really would love to go to like a, I'd love to go to like a Greg Locke.
What is that? Super Church.
Yes.
Yeah. Like I want to go to a black one. I want to go to Creflo Dollar.
Black ones are fun, and that's where you're going to see. I think a black one, you will be drawn into the energy though, and be like smiling a lot. I think if you get to one of those, the white ones.
Yeah.
I think quickly you'll feel like
bored as shit.
Not bored. No, I don't think it's bored. I think it's going to be funnier.
Yeah.
Than the black one, but you're going to be like you're going to. I think you'll be looking to your left. I at a black church, I think they believe it. A black like church where there's everyone's dancing and jumping up and whatever.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people there that believe it. I think at those things, like I mean, it's just like. They're being used, like they're dumb, like they're there for like bad reasons, and the people who do it, I say that guy Greg Locke's name because he was on these documentaries I've been watching. He's a Tennessee super church. He was like at the insurrection,
really
super like right wing.
Oh, he was
like,
doing praying people in.
He was just doing some kind of service out there, but wow. I mean, he was like into it. You know what I mean?
Dude, you're right. It's so much more interesting because, like, right, you believe this.
But that guy said, and I don't think this is always. I'm sure this happens in black church too. Like a shyster gets involved, and it's a money thing. But I think a lot of those things, like...
Well, you see the churches, like the Latino churches and the black churches in, like, the neighborhoods.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just, like, a downstairs of an apartment.
Yeah.
Or, like, ground floor, and then the rest is a real apartment.
Yeah.
It's like those people are there for the love.
They're there for the love.
Yeah.
When you're going to the show, you're going to the show, or you're looking for something, like, crazy. I mean, if you put your belief in a guy... But that Greg Locke guy...
Weezer Future Islands.
Oh, the show, right?
Yeah.
They're performing... I know this. Forest it's Hills. A weird place. Yeah, Forest Hill Stadium.
You ever been there?
No, but I'm performing on it this week, this summer.
Oh, yeah, yeah, with Bert. That'll be great. Birdie Boy World Tour 2023.
Fully loaded.
Fully loaded.
Birdie Boy Belly.
Birdie Boy Belly Belly.
Belly Battle.
Yeah, Belly Buddhist. And it's just a Buddhist guy coming
out. It was
his
pretty
belly.
Funny. Bert does this great thing at his, when I did one of his last days. Oh, I did the thing with them at Phoenix.
Yeah.
And I guess it'll probably be a thing now, because maybe not. It's called it's called Tops Off Tour, and he has a Tops Off camera that goes around the audience
and makes you take your top off as a dude.
You don't have to at all. Yeah. Here's the thing. It's just called. You think? I promise.
Yeah.
If I did three shows where I had that in a comedy club, forget a theater.
Yeah.
Pretty quickly, there's going to be at least a pair or two of women's titties
trying
flashing.
To
Just flat, just because they're like, yeah, we're having wild, it's fun.
Yeah.
It's only on this thing, you know, whatever. Yes. Who cares?
100%.
Bert, it is 100% fat men dad's doing it. Again, I only watched it for like, you know, the 20 minutes they had it on the one show. So maybe it'll be different this summer. Yeah. But I mean, it was not one time. There's women there. There's beautiful women there. It's nothing to do with that. It's just
I would assume right away. I'm, honestly, within 10 minutes, within 3 minutes, there'd be a girl going, yeah, I mean me. My
turn. Yeah. Woo. You know, yeah. I mean, just being like, but Bert also doesn't have, I think, a large contingent of like women with neck and tit tattoos like I do. I have that in my audience like in spades, you know? Like, so a girl who's like, I'll pull my titties out.
Bert has more like in his audience, more surgery scars.
Yeah. But it is pretty funny. Just every time it's a guy, I was looking around, I was like, because they were telling me about the thing, and I was like, oh, that's going to be awesome. Like, I bet there's going to be a couple girls pulling their tits out, but it's just. It's interesting.
Those shows seem fun when you guys are taking batting practice and stuff.
It is interesting. Oh, it's great. Isn't it interesting though? Like your audience does reflect like your temperament in some way. Do you know what I mean? Like Bert's audience, you throw a camera on them. Odds are a woman's not going to pour titties out.
Right.
A girl's husband's going to pour titties out. And she's the kind of lady who loves that though. She's like, oh, that's, he does. He loves Bert. And he takes his shirt off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Supportive and everything like that. Like, mine's more of a chance of a girl pulling her titties out, but then also a chance of the guy next to her going, what the fuck you doing, Denise?
Yeah, or the titties not being really presentable.
That was, man, when I was in Cobb's Comedy Club last time.
The way, can I just break in?
Sure.
The way you handled Rock on the Range, I was shaking in my boots. We'd go up to introduce a band or a radio DJ in front of probably 15 to 20,000.
Oh, no, that was more. That was like 80,000 people.
It's
100,000 seat arena.
It's out the outdoors one.
Yeah, it was a soccer stadium in Ohio.
I mean, it's just as far as you could see with people. And I'm like, what am I going to say here? And then immediately someone was like, some guy's like, you suck, right out of the gate. I'm like, what? And he just took the mic and was like, you hit him so hard so many times in a row, the crowd just started hating him. It was great. It was like, it was like, whoa.
Yeah, so say that's a fucking. That's what I did when I was on tour with the bands.
Annihilate them right away. That's your only chance.
Well, annihilate them right away, and also, but I said it's also the plea with the audience that you're laying out with them. You're going like, "Hey, I'm doing this. I'm entertaining you in between things. It's nothing or this. So why are you being a cocksucker? You know what I mean? While I'm trying to like, you know, it's like you get the crowd, and the crowd kind of goes like, oh, yeah, he is just trying to help us.
Yeah. You want to be silent? You can just do silence if you want.
This thing, when I was in Cobb's, this is such funny timing. I was in Cobb's last time in San Fran.
Yeah. For the listeners, that's short for San Francisco.
San Francisco.
Yeah.
Home of the, what are they doing? Reparations now.
Are they really?
$5 million or something.
What?
Like per, we have to look that up.
Can I get some, as an Israeli? Africa sort of next to it?
No.
Sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Are you sure though?
No. It's worth a look up.
In
Cobb's,
worth a look up. Yep.
In Cobb's, these two ladies, or I shouldn't say two ladies, a lady and a girl.
Yeah.
The one was probably, you know, 24 maybe. The other one, late 40s, early 50s. And wearing it.
Oh.
Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. She looks every bit her age. And she, they were sitting there. They were disruptive, but the kind of disruptive that I'm fine with.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Like rowdy, on the good side of rowdy.
Yeah.
It's like, whatever. You're laughing. You're not being like, fuck you.
They're into it. The problem was the younger one who was pretty cute.
Yeah.
Kept pulling her titties out.
Oh.
Over and over again. Oh, and they were great.
They were?
Like, she knew why she was pulling them out.
Yeah, but come on. Once or twice. Don't overmilk it. So
no, for sure. Hey, nice.
Thanks.
Dude, nice. Just get this on camera. King. Nice. They, so the girl kept doing it, right? And she would just do this. It was actually pretty hot because what she would do is if she saw me like, kind of look her direction or whatever, she's wearing no bra. She would like lift it up. So just like her nipples and like bottom of her tit were just hanging out and not really acknowledge, not make a scene out of it.
She's like,
Yeah, she would just have them hanging out. And then I would acknowledge because I'd be like, it's not easy to focus on what I'm saying when your titties are back. And, you know, she'd laugh, whatever. She was a big fan.
Right.
She probably
big
listened
to you.
Yeah, probably listening to this right now.
Hey, if you're out there, give those titties a rub.
Yeah, give them titties a rub for us.
Give them titties a rub right now. This goes out to you.
Her friend, I think they were both fans. The older lady was sitting there. They're hammered. And she keeps laughing about it. And we're towards the end of the show. I mean, there's 5 minutes left of show.
Yeah.
And the girl's pulling her titties out again. And I go, I kept saying something about them talking and even kind of telling them, I go, guys, there's not much to the show. They're going to end up kicking you out, though. If you don't, you know what I mean? Like, you see these girls next to you hate you. You know, I was like explaining that thing. I go, look, I'll sit here and look at your titties all day, and I'll talk about it all day. Because you know what? Tomorrow, there's another show.
It's not me. I'm not the problem.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, there's another show tomorrow. If this one becomes all this,
yeah,
I'll forget about it by next week. Who cares? And
but you'll be but, out
I'm,
here.
But I'm like, they're going to end up booting you. You know what I mean? Because like, the audience doesn't like you anymore. And I'm kind of going through that thing.
So that's such a good way to say it, too. They're going to end up booing you, which means, like, you just tell the audience, get that ready.
Yeah.
If you weren't thinking it already, now you're thinking it.
It's like, I'm trying to save you from being booted, but they're going to kick you out of here.
Oh, yeah.
And then the timing of this was so hilariously perfect. Booted. The girl keeps pulling her titties out. Yeah, booted. I'm sorry. I see. I'm not even thinking about it, that, like, someone from the staff is, like, walking
over to her,
but it's a very big club, you know. It's a kind of vacuous club and high ceiling, and so it's like it's full. So like the guy's walking slowly over, not even really sure he's going over to them. But the timing came at a time when I was like, the girl kept pulling her titties out. I go, is this the move? Like, you send this young girl out here with her titties to like get all the stuff, and then you guys get to go in together. Like, you know, it's like she pulls her titties out to get into the club, and then you get to go with her.
Yeah,
she pulls her titty out to get free food, and you get free food too. And she goes, I got my own titties. And she pulled her titties out.
The guard?
No. The lady that was sitting with her.
Oh, okay.
That was with the girl.
I get it. The guards are coming over. And you said it's about that lady.
But it's not just, it was just the time. They were coming over for sure.
Yeah.
To ask them to leave.
Then she was like, let me get one in.
No, they had no idea. I had no idea. They're walking from the back. This guy should just be walking through to like give a check out or collect a check. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. But the timing worked out that I said that thing, and then the girl pulled her titties out, and they were not good titties. I don't remember them, but I remember like the audience was not that psyched, and everyone was like, and then it just, the timing reads that as soon as she put her titties away, the guy was like, I'm going to need you guys to leave, and I go, oh, over explaining to the audience, I go, that really reads wrong.
I go, you put your titties away, so now you have to go.
All that was, I go, that other girl pulled her titties out 70 times, and everyone just cheered and clapped. And then even when they weren't clapping anymore, they were still like, they are great titties. And then it looks like from timing, when that lady pulled her awful titties out, they go, oh, nope, time to go. Get those sour-ass titties out of here. It was so goddamn funny. Get those sour ass titties out of here.
By the way, Big J Okerson's new special, Dog Belly.
Live from Skankfest.
Live from Skankfest, colons or semicolon or the one with the comma. Live from Skankfest is available right now on youtube.com/ any number of things, actually, it might be.
Yeah.
It might be youtube.com/@BigJOkerson, and it might be youtube.com/@BigJOkersonComedy, making sure to put an at sign in.
Yeah. It could be youtube.com/ Big J Okerson 0541-2678-543.
We'll have a link to it.
We will have a link to it.
The fun fact, but then I want to hear, no, let's hear that story first.
What?
I mean, stop me if you've said it a billion times, but you said it to me.
Yeah.
You're going to pick up someone from the airport.
Okay.
You got it yet? And they look different than they did the last time you either hooked up with them or how they looked online when you agreed to pick them up and they could stay with you.
Not an airport. Grand Central Station.
Wow. Okay.
But it's still, it's a good one.
Yeah.
It's a pretty, yeah.
I'll count it. I'll include it.
It'll count. Picking somebody up from a thing. So I hooked up with a girl.
So far, so good.
Yeah.
It's just like the Jews at this point. Well, everything's fine.
Everything's going great in Connecticut.
Wait, did we drop by the stand? Mohegan. Wait, in the cellar?
No, we're going back up Midtown. Okay. I was just looping the city. I figured by the time we get back down to your place,
that was
it'll
just
be
an idea
perfect.
That you negated.
I picked this girl up.
Yeah.
Oh, no. So I'm a Mohegan Sun.
So you hooked up with the Mohegan
Sun. Or Foxwoods or something, one of those.
Okay.
I was opening for somebody or something. This is so long ago. And I remember like meeting this girl and we hooked up, like we fucked that night. And in the morning when I woke up, like I was so, like it was a rare drunk for me where I was just like zonked.
Yeah.
I don't even know if we fucked good or fucked a lot, but we definitely fucked around.
Yeah.
And fell asleep. I fell asleep right away, which is another rare thing. You know what I mean? Just like fall asleep with a stranger.
Yeah.
And rare, almost never actually. And then like, and so when I wake up, there's just a note. Had an amazing time. Would love to see you again. Here's my number, blah, blah, blah. So I take the number and I'm going away. You know, I'm leaving, doing a weekend where I could drive to. It's a black club.
Yeah.
I have several stories from this black club. And it was one of the only headline gigs I would get. It was the guy who owned the Laugh House where I started in Philly.
Yeah.
Moved down to Laurel, Maryland.
Shout out, Maryland.
Not a great neighborhood.
Not near College Park. Oh, Laurel is.
Not a good neighborhood.
No, not a good neighborhood.
Yeah. And that's where the club was and the hotel.
The Laurels.
And, but I was like, that club, it's a black club.
It's a PG County.
And it was a black club where I never did holy shit well.
What do you mean? Numbers wise or on stage wise?
On stage wise.
Okay. Like, CFO?
No, it was.
Oh, no, that's Baltimore.
It was called Jokes on Us.
Okay.
It doesn't exist anymore.
Okay.
But it was a small club. It was great. It was actually a good club. One time I did it, like me and Touré were like doing it together. I was opening for Touré and the whole show got bumped because Robert Townsend and Chris Tucker came in. It's pretty awesome.
There, yeah.
Learned an important comedy lesson that day that I'll always love to share was Touré.
Bring a book.
Bring a book. No, Robert Townsend went on, introduced Chris Tucker. Chris Tucker did about 45 minutes.
Damn.
And when he was on, they came over to us and they were like, so, you know, it's up to you guys. If you want to go on still, like, you absolutely can. You know, you're here.
Yeah.
But we're paying you either way. Don't worry about it. And, like, whatever you want to do. And almost at the same time, like, I was like, phew, all right, yeah, we're good. You know, you can just end the show.
Yeah.
And Touré was like, no.
We'll do a spot.
He's like, no. He's like, I mean, he's going to do much less. He's like, I'm going to do like 25. You do like 15 or something, 10, 15. And I go, Touré, that's insane. They just watched Chris Tucker.
And Robert Townsend.
And this is like probably, you know, this is like
prime.
Past prime. Yeah. It's like, I mean,
in between rush hours is.
In between rush hour, probably 2 and 3.
Wow. Okay.
So he wasn't not a star still, you know what I mean?
Right.
He's a fun. I mean, you're supposed to wipe the wax off.
Supposed to wipe it off a little bit.
The fuck is that? That's crazy looking. That's crazy looking.
That's nuts.
It's the circles. They waxed on and they never waxed off.
Yeah, what the F, dude?
That means the person who did it can only block left punches.
I mean, just rinse it.
Throw a
that's
hose.
Crazy. Yeah, dude, I can only the left punches. The Karate Kid.
Can only block left punches. I only learned how to wax on. It was a soft day. Took an injury on wax off. So
most people go with you with their left, so you just really just got to wax on.
Just working your wax-ons.
Yeah. The hijackers didn't learn how to land.
So, Laurel, Maryland.
So he says, what did he say? You said,
let's go on and do it. And he's like, no, you go on. And the point he made that it was great, I go, yeah. They just watched Chris Tucker. He goes, exactly. He goes, they paid $15 to come see me and you, you know?
Yeah.
And he was like, and then they just got to see Chris Tucker for 45 minutes. He goes, all week, it's just your game. If you think you were going to do good before,
yeah,
you're going to do it at least good now. Good, they're in such a good mood. They're like, holy shit. And I go, oh, yeah.
Because you expect them to go, who the fuck are you? We're done.
Yeah.
Chris Tucker was here. Fuck you.
And they're just like, but there's some more show. Like, great. And by the way, some people will leave.
Yeah.
But some people will be like, oh, shit, there's like, I'm still drinking.
Yeah.
And I thought that was cool. Like, it was just good advice. And I always adhered to that. But so this club, but one thing would happen whether I did good or bad.
Back to the story. Good job.
If I would do good or bad.
Yeah.
Never was there like pussy coming afterwards or like female black adoration. Club. A black club, but very, you know, even like in a lot of the other black rooms I did in black clubs, at very least like the morbidly obese black women would come like winging it, you know?
Yeah. And not here.
Not here.
Wow. Okay.
Not here. Okay. It was just not that place. So what I would do sometimes, that's such a funny thing. Like, I should have done this anyway. I should have just gone back to my room and been a good,
just gone and got
a good boyfriend.
Yeah.
A good boyfriend to my ex.
Yeah.
But I was like, you know, again, young enough at that time too, where I was like, isn't part of the, I'm not making any financial rewards from this. Like, isn't the reward that
you get laid
pussy sometimes? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's supposed to be the reward.
So
somebody wants to give you a fucking J.
There's no dough.
Yeah.
So I was like, on that gig particularly, this is why I have several stories from there, because it's a mistake move. Bringing someone who is not your girlfriend or that you're really seeing in any way,
bring her to
a
gig,
to a weekend. It's a bad idea.
So where'd you bring her?
Laurel, Maryland.
Oh, you met her at Foxwoods and brought her to Laurel.
So met her at Foxwoods.
Okay.
And she gave me her number, and I was like, oh, well, we fucked. I must have been attracted to her. Like, it was one of the drunkest I've ever been.
Yeah.
I wasn't blackout. I remember I fucked a girl. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like a...
Yeah.
I don't remember what happened. I'm just like, what is she? She must have been cute. I convinced myself she was cute.
Yeah.
Which is what I would have done sober, and then just later been like, yeah,
I was drunk.
She was.
My judgment was down.
And, you know, a couple weeks later, I was going to Maryland, and I go, hey, would you want to come to this weekend with me? Just... And it's one nut thinking. And I hate the term nut for coming, but it's what
it is.
It's one nut thing. It's because as soon as you come the once, you're like, I've lost my
56 hours I did?
Yeah. You're like, come on, man.
Yeah.
That's like a crazy idea.
It should be like, hey, I'm in the hotel room down the hall. Can I come over? And you're like,
you live 20 minutes away, tops.
Yeah.
Swing by.
Yeah. Magnum PI's on. I don't know.
So... she's like, yeah, I'd love to. So I'm like, all right, she goes, meet me, you know, I'll come down the Grand Central. You meet me there. I pick her up in my car and we'll drive down.
Okay, great. This sounds great.
It's so funny. Even that, I'm like, it doesn't sound good. It's like, it's
yeah,
just,
wait, wait.
It,
so you're going to drive down to Laurel?
With her.
Wow.
Again, this is like, all we did was drunkenly bullshit one night.
That's
and fuck.
Nuts. And you're going to have a road trip. Were you looking to fall in love? That's retarded, Joe.
What I thought was, I was like, oh, I'll be able to fuck all weekend.
Yeah.
And there's not a road trip. And there's not a baby. There's not a baby.
The train goes all the way to fucking Maryland. I'll just pick you up there.
You know, so there's not a baby.
Right.
In the house. Like, ho. So, So I was like, you know, it just seemed like a good idea at the time. It's so far from my thinking now that it's interesting.
Damn. Yeah. What a fucking loser.
So I pick her up.
Yeah.
And when I
from
see
from Grand Central.
It's funny. And then so again, like I said, that's why I wasn't like blackout drunk. When I see her, it's just like someone, you know, next to me should have been like, I told you, dummy.
Was this before Facebook and MySpace and stuff? Did you know her pictures?
Probably MySpace. No, I didn't. I didn't know her pictures at all.
You just had memory.
Yep.
Okay. And her number.
And her number.
Whoa. What
and a
different
note written
time.
In, a note,
these kids
a note
have
written,
it so fucking easy.
I know. A note written in very girly handwriting, too, which
wow.
is usually a good sign.
That's so, lost from society. The fucking cuteness of a number on a piece of paper. It's such a cute handwriting.
Oh, the way they write it.
Circle all dots and stuff.
Yeah. You see the little personality in it.
Yeah.
But I pick her up. And when I see her, I said it all comes back. I'm like... Oh, right. I go.
I like. Oh, remember.
So it wasn't that I don't remember. I thought remember her prettier. It was just like I trusted that it was like yeah. And by the way, I even knew she was like a bigger girl.
Yeah.
But that was like especially
but not bigger
that.
Than you.
No, and especially well maybe, but especially at that time, especially at that time though, I was like that didn't matter. I was like yeah, that's my best pull is probably going to be
big chicks.
Again, for like I'm not talking about like make somebody like me. I mean, like, hey, we just met. Would you fuck? I assume that my best bet is going to be an attractive, like, big girl.
Right.
That would be my home run. And I was like, so she's at least a big girl. I go, but she must be really pretty. And then when she just got there, it's not even to take a shot at her, like an unnecessary shot at her. It just wasn't my thing. You know what I mean? I was like, oh, I'm actually not attracted to this girl at all.
Like, at all.
At all.
Yeah.
We drive down. And by the way, she didn't say... The drive was actually fine. I don't remember that. That was without incident. I don't even look at it as like, and it's a couple hours drive, but I don't even remember that being like anything difficult at all. I was like, so what? You know, it's like she'll come. You know, it's like yeah. she's friendly enough. I'm like, no, we checked her. I go, but I guess like, you know, we could fuck. Like, you know, we'll fuck maybe once or so.
You're just like, it's happening.
Yeah, so, it's like whatever. I brought her down. She wants to fuck, you know. Yeah. And so we get to the hotel. right away afternoon. First thing in there, she wants to fuck. We get it in somehow. I assume I finished like whatever, but whatever it was, I wasn't into it at all. But I did it, and then I was like, all right, you know, I took a shower. I was like, I gotta start thinking here. And this is the thoughts of a young 20-something person, because I was like, okay, here's the move. We go do the shows that night. And I'm like, the move is, I can now make things to do. Now that I know she wants to day fuck also.
Yeah.
It's not even just going to be at night. I'm like, I have to.
Let's do something.
I'm like, we got to do something during the day.
Okay.
One of them, I know we went to a witch store, like a Wiccan, you know, they have like swords. And
I guarantee you she loves Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, for sure. she had like a place where you can go buy like dragon rings and stuff like that. That was one of the things we did. And one of the days we saw two back-to-back movies in a movie theater. One of them was Open Water, the shark attack movie. That's the last thing I remember of it.
Wow, good movie.
I don't remember. You know what's funny?
What?
It's a cast of two people, basically.
Yeah.
In the movie.
Basically.
It was okay.
Yeah.
And for no
limited
reason.
Scenery
for
change,
no
well,
reason.
Flashbacks, but yeah.
For no reason whatsoever, in the beginning of the movie.
I know what you're going to say.
They show the ladies, I think, bush and tits.
Yeah. What the fuck was it?
They give you that. They give you that out of the gates early on.
She just walked into the bathroom. She could have easily had a robe on. That's normal.
Could have had
it's abnormal to be
even
naked.
Could have had panties on and did a tit shot.
Or just show the man as the woman walks. It was so weird.
It was full frontal, unnecessary nudity of the
not
best kind.
All.
Of a very, yeah. The girl's pretty, but she was pretty in like a very like regular way.
Yeah.
And that did hold over the movie. Like I was able to hang in there with that. I'm like, you know what? You gave me something nice out of the gates.
I'm going to give you my viewership.
I'm going to stay no matter what, how dumb this gets. Also, they didn't know I was going to stay because I'm trying to stay out of a hotel room. But so I remember those two as the daytime activities. But the first day we go, we fuck. I go do the shows. When we leave the shows, I go, oh, let's get some food at a diner. It's so funny. To this, you know, I've been with Christine forever now. But if I was dating now, and I thought like, or if I was like single and going out with a girl, I'm like, oh, let's like, I'm like wooing her, not just to fuck, but like, you know, I want to hang out with her and see if she goes. My thing would never be to go get food, because I'm like, if we fuck, I'm not going to want to just have eaten. That just might be fat guy shit, but it's just my personality.
I'm this the opposite.
This girl, I go, let's go to a diner, get some food. You know, she was down. I was able to get her. I was able to get her on food.
Not a hard convince.
No, not a hard convince at all. She, so we go to this diner and I order food and a milkshake. Now, I order this milkshake because I know, weird thing, I don't really have a problem with milk. I don't have a problem with ice cream. I don't eat ice cream very much, and I don't drink glasses of milk much, but like, I don't have a problem with those things. Cheese, not an issue. For some reason, the combination of whatever they do in a milkshake, it wrecks my stomach. People say lactose, maybe, who knows, whatever it is.
But why not milk then?
Whatever it is, exactly.
Yeah.
Why not milk? But, and also maybe that when you drink a milkshake though, you're also drinking a much denser, bigger thing.
It's dense.
So maybe if I pounded like a 64 ounce fucking milk or something, maybe it would do that.
Yeah.
But this is also, you know, a ton of milk and also like ice cream.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds great. Wow, what a.
So nice of you. Thank you. It's a great living in this city. Everyone's really kind to each other.
That's
there's no crime spree, but this is not pleasant.
So I order a milkshake, and then I pound it.
Yeah.
And go back to the hotel room, and inevitably, not even having to fake it, go right into the bathroom for a loud, vicious shit. And it is. It's. I make myself. I don't feel good. You know what I mean? And then I come out. You know, and like, she's probably like in. Find a guest in remembering like panties or something, and just kind of went. And I was like,
"Shit!"
And I was just like, "Oh, my stomach, man!" I go, I don't know what. I really do love milkshakes, but I've got to remember like they fuck me up, you know? Because I'm not even having foresight at this point. I'm just like, well, this gets me out of tonight.
Yeah, right.
The next day, whatever, either the Wiccan store or movies.
More the same.
We go to the shows at night.
Starting to form bonds.
Yeah. We go to the shows at night. I do the shows. Afterwards, you want to get some food? We go back, and when the lady's like ordering, and I go, you know, let me get a turkey club or whatever. And God damn it. I know I'm going to regret it later, but I just, it was so good. Let me get one of those milkshakes. And like, I order it, I drink it, I go back to the room, stomach's all fucked up again.
Yeah.
I'm apologizing to her. She's doing like, it's okay. No, it's all right. Don't worry about it. And then, this is such a, it was such bad thinking on my part. I've done some dumb things. This is a good one. And then we next day, we do the movies, Wiccan Store, whatever. We come back after the show. I go, you know, I almost make it seem like now it's just a thing I do is go to a diner afterwards, you know, got to get some food or whatever. In fairness, the club had no food or anything. So, and I'm like, so we sit down and order and I go, yeah, let me order this. And damn it. I, you know, it's like, it's so good. And I don't get to have these very often. So, you know, let me get another one of those milkshakes. And the girl goes, Jay, you don't have to do this. Like, we don't have to have sex. And it's just like the calling out on that. I couldn't have made it more obvious. And my back, I was like, no, no, I love milkshakes. You're saying I love just milkshakes. I just love milkshakes. No, it's not you. I love milkshakes.
And then, this is like, so I think you should leave.
And I do, yeah. And I really,
whoa. And I, that's so harsh. And also, she's like, I'm not making a guess. I obviously nailed it.
Oh,
you know, I nailed it.
I looked guilty as hell when she said it.
And she got it. You're like, well, you guess right.
And then I do remember an awkward drive home. Back to drop her off at fucking Grand Central Station.
Whoa.
But I will say that feeling though, man, when I dropped at Grand Central Station, like the shoulder drop of relief. It was, you know what I mean? Like, it's just done. Like, and again, wow. Like, not like,
little
not like, fuck her.
Horrible, toxic relationships.
And not like, fuck her. She was a sweetheart.
You just didn't want
to. She went, well, it was just like, there was no way to be. And I, by the way, an adult would have been like, hey, look, I'm actually just not feeling it this way. But like, you know what? Hey, we're here. Yeah. Let's go find some fun, cool places to eat. Let's go do a thing.
You had no interest.
Well, the thing is, like, I probably could have done it. I was just, everything was so, like, one, so, like, behind backs and dirt. You know what I mean? It was so, like,
oh, right.
It was such a difficult, like, there was so much else attached to it. Do you know what I mean?
Vin Taylor has a joke that says, the men are the only ones that rape ourselves. You know? He goes, if you've ever been with a guy, like, women, and the next day he's, like, gets all weird and stuff, it's like, you raped him. He didn't want to, but you don't know how to say no.
But he did.
Yeah.
It's a good point. Yeah. That club, though, Laura Mallory on Jokes on Us, I had, that's the story that I told on Bad Boys of Comedy about me and Kareem getting the guys pulling a gun on us.
Oh, yeah.
That happened at that club.
Bad Boys of Comedy.
Another big one there was, well, I think.
By the way, Jay, special's on YouTube right now. Dog Belly. I needed a better title than executive producer. Helped with
overseer,
overseer, lord, overseer,
ooh, overlord,
overlorded, overlord,
overlord.
Archivere.
Yeah,
no, that sounds like I'm forcing you to do what I want.
Yeah, you're right about that. You're a benevolent dictator.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Yeah,
exactly. Do as I say, please.
How do you feel about not wearing the DILF shirt? Looking back, now that it was in the roast of Bert Kreischer.
Oh yeah, I did wear on the Bert Kreischer roast. Yeah, I'm happy. It looks a bit, it's a smoother look with like the shirt just being nondescript.
Yeah.
For sure. If I could have went back, the only thing I would change, I would have made it a hoodie and not a crew neck.
Okay, yeah, that's you.
Yeah.
Hoodie.
I thought
that right now.
Yeah, I thought crew neck was going to be a look, and it's like, I didn't love that part.
It looks fine from the
front. It's a detail that no one else would give a shit about except me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that one was like, you're like, I'm going to wear the DILF shirt, and I was like, can we talk about it?
Yeah.
Like, it's up to you.
Hang on
you
a know. Second.
Just seems like it's going
to But chill. No, I'm happy. I'm happy I wore nothing at all.
Yeah.
That was so that Laurel Marron Club I was telling you was.
There's another part of that story that I remember.
What is it?
At the very beginning. In the middle, excuse me.
And what was it?
You picked her up from Grand Central.
Mm-hmm.
And as you pulled up, you saw her on the corner.
Oh, and making the decision? Yeah, I really did. I had a real, like...
You went around.
It was a moment. No, I just, like, I stopped five car lengths before her where she definitely didn't see me yet.
Right.
But yeah, that coming to realization, I was like, oh, now I remember her. Like, it all came clear again, and I'm like, ah. And I was thinking all
dick. And then you're like, well, I can't go. She's here.
I was like, I'm thinking all dick. And I was like, I could just never answer the phone.
Yeah, ghost, early ghost.
And fucking drive away. And I was like, it's so much. Yeah, I was like, you know what? I was like, I made this mistake.
Lie in your bed.
I got to eat this shit a little bit. And I could have done better at eating the shit. Like, I still ended up making her feel probably terrible.
Oh, yeah.
Which
that's
is
what you're saying about lying, getting rid of it right away.
But that club has brought back my, you know, I've had a gun pulled on me there. That's the thing there.
Yeah.
So that was retribution. There was the time when I brought the girl who was in Playboy who I'd hooked up with a couple times.
Who was in Playboy that you hooked up with?
My friend Stacy.
Stacy from Canada?
No. Yeah, from Jewish summer camp in Canada. No, but we didn't hook up there. At all. She kept telling me we could, and she wanted to. And then every night she would tell like the saddest, most fucked up story. I used it in a joke on things before. It's like on, for sure, on record.
Yeah.
And I'm still like friendly with her. And she has no idea that it's like so obvious.
Oh, really?
Like our story. Yeah.
I love that.
But it was
so
this the story goes, no, was you said that, every night, this girl, she was so gorgeous. You know, and this is fucking years ago now.
Yeah.
So I mean literally 19 years ago.
Stacy?
Yeah. But she was gorgeous. And at the time, probably like 23 or something. I was like friendly with her. It was so, I mean, I've gone to.
I've seen you for a girl, right?
I've gone to concert, huh?
You don't have senior and junior for a girl.
No.
They never get their mom's name.
Well, if you want to have a good white trash laugh, for sure. My dad's South Philly family.
Yeah.
Where they're from. I have an uncle, Vinny and Aunt Susan, and their kids, Vinny and Susan.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's possible that Stacy's mom is Stacy's mom from the movie.
It's possible Stacy's mom has got it going on.
Yeah. But yeah. It would have to be her mom, which is also possible.
She came down there with me, and if we were in that hotel room,
yeah,
this girl was naked.
Really?
If we were in the room, she was undressed.
Wow.
And I didn't do anything because it just never. I never wanted to make a. You know what I mean? It's like,
wait,
I don't know.
What?
It's like if she like denies it, I don't know, because this is a girl's like.
Whoa,
she lives her life
kind of
naked. She was stripping FDR. We're going to the FDR.
Oh, I get it. And around. Uh-huh. Oh, interesting. Okay.
She just knew. I mean, she had a way with like, do you know what I mean? Like, if we, I've been to concerts with her before, and like they will walk. She doesn't know anybody at the time. They just walk her backstage.
Really?
She's
that hot?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
She was crazy.
Love it.
And she, and she just, I played it cool with her by accident, Ari. Pure accident. Which I've never done. Everybody in my friends the night we met her was up her ass. I mean, you know what I mean? Like talking to her and trying to be charming with her. So like, I paid her no mind, but not out of like
a game.
I'm too cool for that. It was legitimately me going like, I'm like, this girl's not going to, you know what I mean? I'm not the best looking or in shape of anyone who's my friends here who are talking to her.
Yeah.
She's not gonna. She and also what I sort of saw and already had a bit of like a yich about.
Yeah,
is that I'm like, and she loves it. Like she loves that everyone's gay. She's not, you know, she's not gonna fuck all these guys. So she loves it. All
just
of them
the attention.
Want to and getting it. She's loving it.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I had more of like a bitterness to go like, you're not gonna have me here like skirt tailing after you and. You know, picking up everything you drop because.
Yeah. By the way, I'm not going to get it. I'm ninth in line.
You're not fucking me anyway.
I'm not getting the upgrade.
And it made her kind of just like interested, I think, in me a little bit.
Wow, interesting.
We go on this gig and I'm like, this is going to be a magical weekend. I'm going to this black comedy club. I'll do fine. She's seen me do well already.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Enough that like she's still intrigued. So like, I'm like, this is going to be great. And we go on this weekend and every. Single night while naked after the shows back in the room, she would proceed to tell me a story of like sexual assault that happened to her in nightclubs. And then the next day,
what
would wake up and go, like, I can't believe you didn't like
do something,
try anything last night at all? And I was like, I don't. I'm like, Stacy. I mean, I guess I felt like I was like, you were crying almost, like telling me some story and telling me how nice I was or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then the end of that weekend, we were driving back, and she like, I think that's when she said to me, she's like, yeah, she goes, I don't know if I can hang out much anymore either, because I'm, and again, it's such a funny thing seeing like when a hot girl gets like treated, like it's turned on her in some way.
Yeah.
She thought at the time, she was like, I'm seeing the guitar player from System of a Down. And she was fucking him for sure.
Yeah.
100%. But he certainly did not think they were boyfriend and girl. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It was that thing. And I saw through time, because I stayed friends with her. You know what I mean? Through time, I was like, oh, he just eventually ended up hurting her.
Yeah.
And now she's a nurse and a mom.
Now she is?
Yeah.
I just saw Almost Famous again for the first time in a while.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And it's like, so, you know, more perspective now, but it's like, she shows up to New York. Mm-hmm. And then she's like hurt to see him with the girlfriend that she knew he said he was going to meet.
Yeah.
And then she shows up like, and just kind of stares at him. I mean, she oversteps.
Yeah. There is.
And then she's like, she's sort of crying that he's like, I can't, what are you talking, you know, what the fuck are you doing? Also, you know, you're a Band-Aid. Even if you're getting hooked.
Yeah.
Even if you're getting hooked, you know, that's not the way to handle it.
I was, that kind of thing is like, do you remember those? Those are really, it's funny. I saw a person on a Facebook. I like how the stories like degenerate down to something kind of bad, but yeah. On these two sisters, we follow each other, yeah. And probably for, I guess, shit, let me think, 13, 14 years.
Yeah.
I met him when I was on Mayhem Fest.
Which two sisters?
It's just, the girl's name is Amber Dooley.
Oh.
It probably isn't bad to say this out because there's like a real thing going on that maybe people can help, but they're Amber Dooley and Danielle Dooley are the sisters, right?
Story checks out.
The Amber girl, it was, and she was there with her family for like, you know, that was the Korn Mayhem Fest I did.
Okay.
The big festival.
Yeah.
The outside one. So like,
damn.
They're, and then like, you know, and I hooked up a handful of times on those tours. Right?
Yeah.
But this one, I met this girl. She looked like a camp girlfriend. You know what I mean? She had like just like jean shorts on, but not like slutty cutoffs. But she had a great body, very pretty, like a lip piercing.
Yeah, nice.
But like just looked like a nice girl. You know what I mean? She's really very pretty.
The craft.
And very pretty, very nice. No, not like that. No. It's camp counselor.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Nothing like crazy about her look at all, you know, just very like short, kind of a bob, blonde haircut of that music era, you know, yeah. That genre. We hung out. It was like a holding hands day. It was, and at the end of the night, making out until she had to kind of tell her family's like, Amber, let's go. And she'd be like, okay, I'm coming right there. And it was just like, well, goodbye, I guess forever. Whoa. You know what I mean? Like this was a great, and I remember that more than anyone I fucked on that tour or anything. It was just, it was such like a sweet like camp like relationship.
Yeah.
The flip funny on that. No, this isn't funny at all. I don't know why I said that. Edit the funny part out. Okay. When I say it's funny. Her sister, I just saw a Facebook post the other day that I was like, please help us find Kelsey. And it's like,
she's gone.
So no. I guess Kelsey is the daughter of the sister. It would be that girl, the girl I made out with, it would be her niece.
Yeah. There she's been taken.
She's missing. And so now it's just a bunch of Facebook posts that goes, if, and it's, you know, that's so funny is like this girl's like probably 19 or 20 looking, you know what I mean?
You know what I bet happened?
Like she's 20 years old or some shit like that. So it's like, and it's just like, so it's not even saying like, I mean, God forbid, let's hope nothing terrible's happened to her, but it's just like, I've never seen someone I know like calling out for a missing person. That's wild.
Damn. I bet Indian people took her to make up for what you did.
And they, yeah, they took her, and they're raising her as an Indian daughter, the one that I took from them, the daughter that I stole from them.
I can't wait for the summer, dude. I'm just staying home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got, yeah, I'm sure.
100% of summer locked up. But there will. I will block in a time, Ari, of just fucking. Well, you know what?
What?
This actually probably is currently happening. If people are watching this the day it comes out, we are staying in a bomb-ass Airbnb.
Oh, yeah.
Right now. I did it.
In Austin.
I did it. I was like, let's go. Oh. And you know what?
Yeah, you went for it. Like we had in Miami.
And they charge more. This might be a thing across the board.
Per person?
Nope. They charge more if you.
Just release a special?
If you just release a special. If you want the hot tub, or not the hot tub, the pool heated.
They charge more
if you want to heat it. And I said, you know what? Heat that motherfucker. I want to get in whenever we want to get in.
It's not going to be quite hot. Out. It's not going to be a sweltering. Like, if this was July, I'd be like, no, leave that shit off.
You're right. But it's not going to be like that. Right. Nighttime, it'll probably get cool.
A little morning swim. A little morning dip before
morning
Rogan.
Dip before morning Rogan. Dip before Rogan, dude. And it's one of those, the hot tub goes into the pool.
Oh, nice. Dude, me and Shane were staying at Tim Dillon's.
Mm-hmm. In L.A.?
No, in Austin, his old place.
Okay.
And he was like, come and stay out there with me. And Shane is mocking me for putting sunscreen on, just mocking me. And I keep putting more on. We keep talking. We're high. I'm high. And he's like, dude, you keep fucking lathering up new levels of sunscreen. I'm like, I don't know. You'll be safe, whatever. He goes, and he's, you know how he is. Like, you're fucking gay. You suck.
Yeah, I mean, meanwhile, but Shane's got like.
Dude,
like
he burned so red. He had the sunglasses white. Yeah. And he was like, oh, it turns out I was wrong.
Shane's skin type is precancerous.
That's the fun fact.
He was born with spots you have to check away.
The fun fact is the font in Dog Belly, Jay's new special, is Shane's skin.
Fun fact. Shane's belly after a good suntan.
Shane's belly. We had Dog Belly, but the dogs we have don't look quite enough like that. Not dogs. Shane's stomach. So.
I'm surprised he would. Laugh off sunscreen so much. Used to do that when I was younger too. I would have called you gay also.
Yeah.
I would have called you gay for sure. But
that's something I would get into the head of a kid.
But then, I mean, you just need one time of having like a blister from the sun.
Yeah.
Where you're like,
it's all peeling. There's no good.
Can I tell you something? I'll tell you what Shane has that we don't, Ari.
What?
And it's a, okay. It's a weird thing to have your Hyundai doing.
It is a Hyundai Sonata that he cracked off so no one can see the Hyundai.
Yeah. You just hear the hum of that engine.
Yeah. What does he have that we don't have besides millions?
Millions?
Oh, they're street racing.
Oh,
it's
wow.
It's the two of them, they're street racing.
Oh, look at that.
It's so hard to street race in traffic. Now a third guy joined them.
Sweeping.
Wow.
That's crazy.
That's crazy. What are you doing? Not safe.
Safety yeah, besides millions. Everything. He's got, millions of adoring fans and upward
career offers.
He's naturally funny.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to work at it.
This way.
What the fuck does he have?
What does he have?
Now it's the pot setting in that he has that we don't have. Yeah. Oh, I do know exactly what it is. You forget, like Shane's younger than you think.
How old is he?
33, 34 maybe.
Wow. Oh, yeah, he is younger.
One of those, yeah. I mean, he was
that barely 33.
But you know what I mean? So he's like, he's in his, like, he's not even, maybe at most mid 30s, but he's early 30s. I'm mid 40s. You're late 40s, right?
Yep.
So, like, we're, like, we do have a little bit of, like as a kid, never gave a fuck about sunscreen. Probably getting closer
and
to
was like two,
probably
two years
probably
ago.
mid-30s, closer to 40s. You just need to have a couple friends who are your friends, and that's the other thing about comedy too. You tend to have older friends sometimes.
I tell you about how
and it's like
way to do
oh
that.
Someone yeah I remember comedian JJ Ramirez had to have like melanomas taken off of his fucking nose from like sun damage and whatever, and you're like, oh yeah, that can happen actually.
Oh, you're right. It's real.
You know what? Let me throw on some sunscreen. Dude, so now I just throw it on. Uh-huh. I think it's gay to put it on too. I never did when I was younger, but you're like, oh, you know what, dude? Let's not fuck up.
Yeah, it always takes a minute. I was playing poker at a Hustler Casino, I think, or Commerce, and this guy, they called him Professor. I think he was a professor. I had a big wallet. He's just put in my back pocket, and he goes, hey, you shouldn't sit on your like wallet like that. It'll give you like sciatic or something. And I was like, okay. And then, you know, I had it in my wallet. It was like, maybe I'll change later. And he's like, hey, look at me. I have horrible back pain all the time because I did that. And you're like, oh, fuck. It like got through to me. I was like, oh.
My back pain, I attribute a lot to, one, CrossFit didn't help. Speed weightlifting isn't the right way to do it.
Speed weightlifting?
That's what CrossFit is. they show you how to do it with perfect form,
yeah,
right, for 15 minutes of every class.
And then you don't.
And no, it's not that they, you don't. And then they go, all right, whoever does the least in 7 minutes is a pussy. You know what I mean? So, yeah, they're like, so then, of course, you're not using good form. You're lifting with all back. That, though, and, you know, I always get the jokes that if I ever, at the times that I do wear a wallet chain still.
Yeah.
Lewis will always point, I always point out to him, he's like, you still wear a wallet chain? I go, it's actually not a wallet chain. It's just a chain.
It doesn't go to your wallet.
There's no wallet, yeah, attached to it.
Surprising fact about Jay.
And I go, and the reason why is because when I tell you, our last episode, you did about the anxiety stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they were like, the anxiety attacks like the weakest parts of your bodies. That's why you get like numbness and whatever and things like that. And wearing that big fucking biker wallet, that long wallet that goes with the wallet chain always.
Yeah.
Because it comes out of your pocket and all that. And having God knows what, some change in there sometimes and whatever. And sitting on that right thing, it's why absolutely I have pain. Like sciatica and stuff, yeah, and pain because of sitting on a fucking, and he's like, my ex-mother-in-law, who was like an actual massage therapist, not a hand job one, found out the hard way.
Oh, really?
I presented to her. She was like, this isn't about that.
Oh, she was like something else.
No.
Oh,
it's my mother-in-law. I didn't do that at all.
Right.
But she's an actual massage therapist. And she was the first one to tell me that. She was like, yes, everyone. Yeah, yeah. Everyone.
Safety first, folks. She was front, I agree. Safety first.
Front pocket wallet. Also, it's probably dumb as shit to keep your wallet in your back pocket.
It's harder to steal on the front.
Way harder.
Yeah. And it's something that rubs against your dick and you just get like a little, like a half mast.
Yeah, if that's right. If you do steal it, at very least I get a half mast.
Yeah. Jay, let's wrap this up.
Okay.
This is a fun ride home from LaGuardia. Loose topic.
Yeah, we looped.
Big Jay to LGA.
We looped Manhattan.
Big
looped
Jay
Manhattan.
From LGA. A new podcast series coming soon.
We just got to get these cameras set right.
His special, yeah. You got to have the handlebars. I always, when I'm going to do this on the road now, I go like, hey, but I'm with my uncle, and he's like, he has trouble getting into a car. Do you have the handlebars? Nah. It's got to be the front ones.
What are they rapping about? That girl was,
going for
it? She was crunking.
Oh, really?
Remember Crunk?
Ever Crunky and Fitch?
Remember things would get crunk?
This is all breaking down now. Oh, I fucked this up completely.
Oh, yeah.
Oop. Well, guys, that's the fucking episode. Oh, let's do our dates. I'll throw them in the middle. But that's the episode, everybody. Go see Big J special on YouTube right now.
Wait, did we tell them the actual fun fact about the title card?
No, we did not.
No, I said, should we?
Should we?
Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking about just playing it off as that is the new fun fact. It is, go ahead, say it, fun fact.
Inside the font of Dog Belly, you will notice is pictures of dog bellies, and those dogs,
yep,
are Dawkins and Bandit.
That's fun fact.
Fun fact of the day. Our two dogs' bellies.
Fun fact of the day.
Also, shove that in your pipe and smoke it, motherfucker.
Smoke it. I said smoke it.
Smoke it, motherfucker.
The new special, Dog Belly, is out right now on YouTube. Everybody, go see it. Go post about it to all your friends on Instagram.
Tell people. Give it to a friend.
Get off Twitter, but like, if you're on there, post about it.
It's probably my least dirty work.
Wow.
Realize that. Thought about that.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, not a lot of sex shit.
You know what? Someone's evolving.
Yeah. Yeah, look at that dog about to kill that old man.
Sure. Does it open with a butt plug joke?
It
yes,
does open
but
with
don't
butt plug.
Judge it by that.
It does open the butt plug. Go look at it right now, everybody. Share it and fucking enjoy. Really just enjoy it. You worked hard on it. And it was fucking great. What a fucking cool. I love being at specials, and I loved helping with this one, and that was fucking great, dude. Good job. Good fucking job.
Thank you,
man. Yeah, people are going to love it.
And thank you. I owe you the fucking
like
world.
Like a fucking double-double.
We're going to get some, I think. What night do you get into Austin?
Monday. I get back from Zurich, and then I'll sleep here and then go in the morning.
Yeah, yeah. I think after Kill Tony, we grab some barbecue and hit the fucking pool.
Yeah, I'm in with that 100%.
Let's
maybe last day we'll eat barbecue in the pool.
Yes.
Fuck that place, yeah.
Baby, you can drive my car. Yes, I'm gonna be a star. Baby, you can drive my car.
Well, that's it, everybody. That's the podcast. Big J from LGA, a new podcast series that never will be. And why? Because Jay's not going to give you a ride to the airport. I am, but not Jay. He's too busy doing other things, like recording his first new hour-long special in 7 years, Dog Belly, on YouTube right now. And that is where you guys, if you believe in great things, have to go see Dog Belly on YouTube right now.
No way.
No fucking way.
No fucking way.
No fucking, no, it's a not. It's a not.
First shot, first take, dude.
Ah! Yes!
Dude moment.
Yes!
Woo!
Yes! No fucking way.
Dude, right swish.
Dude, oh, I got it on camera, too. Oh, I got it on camera. At least with that one.
Buddy.
Oh, hell yes.
Put it out.
Really? Oh, that's so fucking sick.
Wow.
All right, everybody. Dog Belly on YouTube right now. Go check it out. If you believe in luck the way I do, it's not luck. I'm Irish. Go see Big J Special right now on YouTube.com/Big J Oakerson. I'm Ari Shaffir for Big J Oakerson. I'm saying so long for episode 512 or whatever.